Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Voice of America special coverage of Season 4 Basketball Africa League. The Nile Conference enters its second week in Cairo. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. I'm here with my guy,
yes, sir.
Mike Hobe.
We are within, brother.
What's going on, my guy?
Easy, man, We're back again.
How was your weekend? Yes, sir, we're back again. We watched together and covered that game between El Ahly, Egypt versus El Ahly, Libya, two teams with the same names, almost the same, you know, similar playing style, but obviously we know that El Ahly, Egypt is a much more storied franchise and, you know, they came up on top.
That's right.
So what's going on, my guy? How are you doing?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. I'm excited to see how Al Ahly, Libya turn out today. You know, they, once again, we highlighted this over the weekend, but just to highlight it again, they are debutants in the Nile Conference. So I'm really excited to see how they've been performing. So far this year, every debutant team seems to have really picked their game
Absolutely.
Up. Which, once again, like we highlighted over the weekend, speaks to how Bal has grown.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited to see how the debutants are. I don't know if we can still call them debutants two games in, but, you know, I'm excited to see how they perform today. They play against the City Oilers
of Uganda.
Yeah,
it's a little tough match. This is a must win for the City Oilers, who have lost two already.
Yeah, they're 2-0
so
right
far.
Now.
They lost to Bangui, which is a debutant team from Central African Republic.
That's right.
The Basketball Africa League this year started off in South Africa, the Kalahari Conference, which is an expansion of the Basketball Africa League. Mike talking about the evolution of the sport, but the game and the league also has evolved and they're expanding to different cities. And so this year was Kalahari Conference. They're in the Nile Conference in Cairo.
Yes, sir.
They'll go to the Sahara Conference
Senegal.
In Senegal and then end up in June, I think late May, in Kigali, Rwanda for their finals at the BK Arena. This is the fourth year Rwanda is hosting the playoffs of the Basketball Africa League. They extended their deal last year. Mike, so coming into this matchup between El Ahly, Libya, which is a debutant team, and the City Oilers. City Oilers is making its comeback, its second year, I think.
Yeah.
But when you look at the composition of these teams, really, they're not debutants. Many of the players
have
that
been
are
playing with
them.
It's a recycled talent.
Exactly. We have a bunch of journeymen who are just moving from one team to
another
team.
Uh-huh.
You know, as we saw, you know, over the weekend. But how does it look for City Oilers right now in this very must-win game for them? Otherwise, they'll be back in Kampala in a flash.
ASAP. They're blinked. man, the City Oilers must win today's game if they really have any hope of reviving their making it to Kigali. Of course, even if they do lose today, now they're keeping their fingers crossed on that third place placement. But once again, that's not really one thing you're vying for. South Africa did the same thing with the Cape Town
Tigers.
They won their one game against Petro de Luanda. And now they also are clinching their fingers, hoping to make it through on a third place placement. So that's not something that the City Oilers really want. They want to make sure that in their final games that they at the very least pick up two W's and at least secure a comfortable space as we head towards or prepare for Rwanda. So that's City Oilers must win today, man.
Absolutely. And that, but based on what we saw on Saturday, the pedigree of players from Libya, what kind of chances do they have?
It's going to be tough. Obviously, I'm looking forward to seeing whether or not Al Ahly Libya learned their lesson from playing against, you know, the Bal veterans themselves, their North African counterparts, Al Ahly Egypt. One thing I did point out over the weekend was Al Ahly Libya did not really rest a lot of their star players. They kept them throughout the game. We're talking about Kevin Murphy. We're talking about Pierre Jackson. If they get that opportunity, which I think they're looking at, they'll probably look into, because they're playing against an opposition that's not really as strong as Al Ahly Egypt. So I'm looking forward to seeing whether or not they learn their lesson, get their play. You know, everybody can get some game time, but at the same time, make sure that their star power is able to keep that momentum.
Absolutely.
Because that's where they went wrong.
Absolutely.
On Saturday.
And that's the problem too. Like you said, there's no depth on the bench.
Yep.
So they kept using the same players.
Same players.
Depending on PL Jackson to make those buckets. And since this these guys are kind of new together. You don't see the team chemistry.
You don't
chemistry.
See the chemistry, right.
And so it's really tough to play guys who've just come together, you know, a couple of months before they start playing and
put them in front of
cameras, and also get them, you know, to play against teams like El Ahly Egypt, which has been around for a long time. For a minute,
mm-hmm.
They relied on their point guard, Pierre Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Pierre Jackson has history here in the U.S. Played for the Dallas Mavericks. He was drafted, I believe, in 2012 out of Baylor University.
Mm-hmm.
He spent one season in the NBA with the Dallas Mavericks and played professionally across Europe and in the NBA G League. With a team called the Texas Legends. You could see that Pierre Jackson's play style was more about him.
He was the guy.
We know that point guards, really, their job is to feed the ball to the shooters and the big guys.
It was all about him.
Yeah, it was the Pierre Jackson show.
Yeah.
He goes by the name Papi, so it was the Papi show.
He did
well for himself as a player, but this is a team sport, Mike.
You need
to involve everybody else. If they're all the five players on the court are not meshing, then you're losing.
It's a problem,
game.
Right?
No,
especially
doubt.
If you're going to play against veterans like Al Ahly.
Absolutely,
Egypt.
Absolutely.
They had every player stepping up to the plate. Yeah, of course, they still had their star players. Show why they're star players, but even when you took them off, it was almost as though no one is missing. The engine kept moving.
Absolutely. Again, the Basketball Africa League coverage here on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. I'm with my colleague Mike Hove. We'll bring you live coverage of the game and some post-game analysis. This year, 52 players from 11 countries across Europe, Africa, and the U.S. Will compete for the leagues in the League's Nile Conference phase, which is taking place right now in Egypt from the 19th up to the 27th of this month at the Hassan Mustafa Indoor Sports Complex in Cairo, Egypt. The four teams competing in the Nile Conference phase feature seven players with NBA G League, Mike.
Yep.
That's a lot of players.
Mm-hmm.
They also have 17 former NAACA Division I players. As people who have just come out of the March Madness, we know the caliber of
it's high.
Basketball.
It's real. It's
so
real ballers.
You have 17 of these guys also making their appearances at the Basketball Africa League in the Nile Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Four of the players are current NBA Academy Africa prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, what is the NBA Academy? Just
dang, mm-hmm. dang, dang. Sorry, that's the name that keeps coming up to my head. But the NBA Academy, essentially, once again, just like any sports, the NBA has so many different structures. The Academy itself is where you'll find a lot of the youth, which is where, for example, some of the players that are playing in Ball, you'll find that they're 16, 17, 18.
Mm.
So essentially, this is a developmental structure focused on grooming talent. Now, just because you're in the academy does not mean you make it to the NBA.
Right, right.
But it really enhances and heightens your prospects of one day being
picked
to make
you
it to
might
the
not make it to the NBA, but at least
you'll make it
to
somewhere.
BAL.
You'll make it somewhere.
If you made it to the academy, then you're at least BAL caliber at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you make it to the NBA, that's another story.
And some make it to the G League. Some go play in Europe.
Absolutely,
it means you're really like you're. Talent is up there. It's
absolutely
noted.
And
so
as we were talking, you and I, Mike, we are hoping that the NBA is grooming the BAL to be
a standalone,
standalone tournament league.
Mm-hmm.
That you know just captures the vibrancy and the essence of African youth being the youngest continent in the world. We know basketball is still like really growing and evolving. Mm-hmm. And in just these four years, we've seen it, the growth on the continent with young people taking over the sport and taking interest in the sport. Lots of infrastructure being built in
mm-hmm.
countries like Rwanda that has invested so much in the game,
mm-hmm.
including building the famous BK Arena,
mm-hmm.
which they will be playing in the fourth finals this year. Again, like we said earlier, this year, 52 players from 11 countries across Europe, Africa, and the U.S. are competing in Cairo. And we have six former Basketball Without Borders campers. Basketball Without Borders, I guess
it's under FIBA.
Another pipeline, you know, project that brings in players and, you know, grows them to play in these big tournaments. The opening game featured first-time BAL participants, El Ahly Libya, which is going to play today in a few minutes in Cairo. They played against Bangui Sporting Club, another debutant team from Central African Republic. The team that has lost both of,
of that, the City Oilers.
The City Oilers. Mike is a little skeptical. but man, it's going to be, you know, I feel like they're coming into this with a chip on their shoulder. They want to win this. They don't want to lose completely. You know what I'm saying?
They definitely are. And they've got some of the star players that really are can do it. We're thinking of, you know, Kamaan Malouche. He's up there in terms of the average points. He's right behind, you know, Jackson himself.
Kyle Jackson, Papi. Call him Papi, bro.
He's
call
right
him
behind
Papi.
You know, Papi so far has scored 23 points per an average of 23 per game. So far, obviously, they've played only two games. Kamasha is right behind with 22 points per game. But once again, this goes back to what we're highlighting. This is a team sport. You can have star power, but can the star power play together?
Absolutely.
That's the most important. But it doesn't translate to a victory.
Yeah.
That's a whole different
story.
So
absolutely.
They've got some of the players.
Some
and the
of
names.
The players we'll be looking at are in El Ahly. El Ahly Libya is Majok Deng.
Of course, my
Your
man.
Boy Deng.
My boy Deng.
is from the University of Louisiana at Monroe. We have Joloual Akir, another South Sudanese. Majok is also, you know, if you don't know, Deng is a very South Sudanese name. So Majok Deng is playing for Libya, but he's from South Sudan. Another player from South Sudan playing for Libya is Joloual Akir. Akir, I think that's the way you say it.
Yeah, Akir.
He's played for Baylor University, the same team, I guess, Pierre Jackson played for. Kevin Murphy played for Tennessee Tech University. Pierre Jackson, also another Baylor University. He's a point guard for Al Ahly. He put up big buckets on the last game on Saturday against Al Ahly Egypt, where they came up short by almost 12 points. That game was quite close in the beginning.
It was very close.
I made a call that it might end up being in the handles, but it did not. It was 98, I believe.
They were jealous. They just needed a couple of seconds to make that.
But we're seeing live shots coming in from Cairo. The players from both teams kind of shooting around, warming up, stretching. Quite important to stretch. I have a friend of mine that used to play for one of the top teams in Kigali that I play basketball with, and he told me that they used to go out bowling, you know, in these big tournaments back in the day for FIBA.
Without stretching? And
they would lose. They would lose, and they didn't realize. So they say that they would come in and just go start shooting, and they're playing. And while they're doing that, as they're, you know, shooting around, you know, practicing their buckets, the players, especially, he was telling me about this Angolan team, that the guys would just be stretching on the sideline, just stretching. And he didn't know what it was. So the reason why we were having this conversation is that whenever we go play basketball,
you don't stretch?
No, he stretches. I don't stretch.
My man.
I don't stretch. And he you know, I could see him on the side just stretching. I know this guy is younger than me. He's fitter than me. I'm like, why are you stretching? Like, he told me the story. Like, I learned the hard way that stretching can be the game changer.
It does. But even if you think about it, because I remember when I used to play, and of course this dates back to high school, one of the things is by the time it's tip off, when you've been stretching and doing your warm up, you know your hot spot, right? You know where if you take it in this corner, you're going to be banking it all day. A lot of people that don't stretch, and I had people up the ops that didn't stretch and they come in cold. Now, of course, once you start playing, you can get hot, but the whole point is you want to start off with the right footing.
Absolutely.
So stretching is a big deal, man.
Absolutely.
All that warm up stuff
has
to be done.
Mike is a former almost pro rugby player, so he knows this. So listen to him, guys.
My friend.
If you're playing basketball, whatever sport, stretching is quite important, very instrumental. And that's the thing that many young people don't incorporate in their sports, in their exercises. Let's look at some of the guys that we're playing for City Oilers in Uganda. We have Patrick Rembart, who is from the University of California in Irvine. We have Dan Miller. We've seen Dan Miller before. I think he's played with other teams in the league. He's from Rutgers University. Mm-hmm. We have Bashir Ahmed. He's a Ghanaian. He went to St. John's University, the school that J. Cole went to.
Nah.
J. Cole made the first appearance. Very first ball he played for the running team, the Patriots. So St. John's is a university in New York, the really nice university. So that's where Bashir Ahmed, a Ghanaian, is going to, he comes from. We have Rondé Culpepper, is University of Texas, El Paso. Man, you see, again, most of these guys are Americans. They played in the U.S.
So that for me, that once again, it keeps going to this thing where it's like, if we're grooming Ball to be a standalone entity, why do we have to now? And it's a damned you do, damned you don't, right? Because it helps to have all these young players that are playing in CAA, in all these different U.S. leagues, because you know that they're high caliber.
Absolutely.
And they probably are one of the reasons why Ball is at where it's at today, because now you have a lot more talent. You remember on Saturday we talked about the fact that in season one you had all these folks who have been balling who are like on their last legs,
the last legs.
20, who are like in their
40s.
You know what I mean? But now you have the young boy, the young bull that's out there to compete. Yeah.
But they're not that many either, but, Mike. I would have loved to have seen BAL just use local players.
African talent.
I'm telling you, it would actually be more popular, would see more people in the seats. It would all around be an advantage for Basketball Africa League if they were just using homegrown talent. Use the local kids. They have inbuilt support locally.
Groom the local talent.
And that way it helps you gauge the level of basketball on the continent.
Because right now, you know what's interesting is, like, for example, we're headed towards the Olympics, right?
Right.
You have all these standalone players, one here, one there, one there, one there, that's from Africa. But now when it's game time and it's tip-off in Olympics in France, all of a sudden your team is not as high caliber.
Absolutely.
Yet I was playing against this guy and we're playing together at Ball and we're blowing backs out. Like, it's really interesting to see how this is going to work out in the long range. Once again, we're only in season four, but I really do hope that the long-term plan for the NBA is at some point to say, okay, my man, I've groomed you just like a parent.
Yes,
I've groomed you, I've helped you grow.
Yeah.
Now it's time for you to fly. Ball needs to fly at some point.
Brandon Sebirumbi is a Ugandan who's going to play. He plays for City Oilers. I think the only Ugandan is the City Oilers team. He's from Furman University in the U.S., I believe. So, again, all of these guys have experience playing in the U.S., whether it's in college level, collegiate level, or whether it's in the NBA or the G League. The Nile Conference phase also features 8 players from 3 countries who participated in the FIBA Basketball World Cup 2023. Majok Deng, who's playing for El Ahly Libya from South Sudan. Kaman Malwach, playing for City Oilers from South Sudan. Sulaiman Diabate, we'll see him today with El Ahly Libya from Cote d'Ivoire.
Oh, Cote d'Ivoire, yes.
Yes. We have Ihab Amin from El Ahly Egypt. Amil Abderrahim, El Ahly Egypt. Omar Orabi. Orabi coming in almost, I think he was actually thrown out in the last few minutes of that game last week.
Yes,
with
ejected, yes.
Yeah, he was ejected because of a flagrant foul on one of the players, just hitting him with a, you know, he was frustrated and then just
hit him with his
shoulder. Elbow, just like, you know, clanked him, and that was not a good look for him. Also, the Nile Conference features 6 former Basketball Without Borders campers. Seyfeldin Hendawi, El Ahly, Egypt. Karim El Ghazawi, El Ahly, Egypt. Ahmed Denal Abdulela, Bangui Sporting Club. Kurt Wegschneider, Bangui Sporting Club. Thierry Serge Darlene, Bangui Sports Club. And Kaman Malwach, City Oilers. You know, I gotta say, for Bangui Sports Club, it's quite impressive to see this team coming from a country that has been devastated by conflict for the last
how
many
years.
And here they are standing tall, winning games. You know, just really say something about the continent also, in terms of, like, don't look down upon some of these places where you know they don't have you know, at some point they don't even have a functional government actually in Central African Republic, but they still, you know, basketball is still there, and that's the power of sports. Even
is that at times, you know, natural talent is all it takes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Infrastructure and all that is now just the additional patch. But when you have the passion, when you have the natural talent, it can take you where it's at, man. All these debutante teams, some of them, like you highlighted, are not from the greatest of countries when we're talking about infrastructure or development, etc. But somehow they still come out here and they show it. They do what it is. Burundi wasn't the same with Dynamo.
Right.
They came out, did their thing. Of course, now politics came to play and they had to drop out of the tournament. But they were really looking good, right? Now we've got Al Ahly Libya. They're doing the same thing. They're looking really good. Now we've got Bangui Sporting Club. They're doing the same, looking good. It's showing that Africa has the talent.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, speaking of sports, it's quite sad to see that the Dynamo...
Dynamo was looking really good.
It was looking really good. It was their first time. Mm-hmm. There was also a debutant team, and they, I think they won their first matchup.
Yep.
Like, you know, just the psychological victory of winning your first
match. Your first game. It's a big deal.
In such a tournament. Mm-hmm. It shows hunger also. Again, Burundi is also another country that has, for so many years, since 2015, had been plagued by conflict. Mm-hmm. But basketball is such a big sport in that country. I know many kids that some of the kids that I play with basketball on the weekends are also from Burundi, and they played in the local leagues there, and they tell me how popular the sport is. Mm-hmm. It's so sad to see that politics really was the only reason that impeded them from, you know, realizing their dreams. Because we need to see these talents, these kids
come out,
play on these platforms and these leagues, showcase their talent, and, you know, hopefully, you know, get a chance to make it bigger, make it back, you know, to the NBA.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't mix sports with politics.
No.
That never works. Mm-hmm. Let the young guys, you know, there's so much potential for basketball on the continent or sports in general. We know the continent has the highest youth unemployment. Mm-hmm. And you, like I was speaking to one of the analysts about the potential for sports, and in this case basketball, being employing thousands of young people, an avenue for employment. So many young people are looking at this and saying, you know, this is my opportunity. I've been waiting for this many years, whether as a player, as a coach, as an agent, as a ticketing agent, a booking agent. All this, you know, there's so many
things in
the ecosystem that so many of these young men who have the potential, and women that have the potential to do it big, but never really have the opportunity. We are covering the Basketball Africa League Live Nile Conference. This is the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi.
Yes, sir. And I'm here. I'm Mike Hove. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here for covering the Nile Conference of the Season 4.
Yes, sir. One, two, three, four, we're here, baby.
And we're
I know, right? Like, it feels like yesterday when we're covering season one. And we're here, season four.
We're here, man. Once again, the tournament keeps getting better. May we be here
for more seasons.
Of course. Amen.
Amen to that. Now, one of the things when we mentioned last year, and this was particularly directed towards Senegal at the time, is that, you know, we see these, you know, stadiums or arenas really empty, you know, and this is what we're seeing right now in this team, this game between El Ahly and Uganda, Namibia,
and
City Oilers about to start. And we see that
it's empty.
It's empty.
It's players.
We know basketball is quite popular in Egypt. Why do we not have people occupying the seats?
I think Baal definitely... Look, Baal traditionally had not done a great job when it came to its marketing in South Africa. Once again, it's something to be applauded. Mm. They definitely did a lot of things right in South Africa. Now, when it comes to Cairo, there were two games that were played on Saturday. And one of the games was basically packed. You could hear which was the local team.
Absolutely.
Al Ahly Egypt, and of course playing against Al Ahly Libya. What that says to me is in Cairo, people do applaud their local team. But I don't see them actually choosing to take it out of their, you know, out of their day to make it out.
Right.
Now, of course, there's several different factors that play into this. The fact that a game is being played on a Monday, people might be at work. There's several different factors to it. But I think this is definitely something that Bal needs to start taking into, consideration when moving forward into other seasons, using South Africa as a case study, using Rwanda as a case study, and understanding what worked there
that they can start
inputting in these different places. And it also means they might need to consider moving into a different country, right? Maybe Angola might be good, seeing as though Pedro de Luanda
has been
around
for a while. Yes, exactly.
So these are all things that Bal needs to start looking at and thinking about as moving forward.
Right, absolutely. As we're waiting for the matchup between El Ahly Libya and City Oilers, we're bringing you live coverage here on the Voice of America. Remember to check us out at voaafrica.com. We have more sporting news on there and other
types of news. Of course, we have it all.
We have other, you know, if you missed out on our, you know, previous coverages, basically anything Bal related, you'll find it on voaafrica.com. Again, going to list, you know, looking at some of the players that are featuring for El Ahly Libya, which is a debutant team. Another country that has been embroiled in conflict for so many years, since 2012, since the fall of Muammar Gaddafi.
Right.
But they're still able to have an NBA team, sorry, a Basketball Africa Africa League team. Now, El Ahly features two players who were drafted into the NBA. Kevin Murphy, number 42, who was number 42 overall by the Utah Jazz in the 2012 NBA draft. That's quite a while. But also, you know, knowing that some of the players that were drafted at the time still play in the NBA, I guess, that he's not fully on his last legs.
Listen, 2012 was a minute ago, man. This man is on his last legs.
Yeah, right. He probably has two more, you know.
One or two more seasons, right. And you'll be like, all right, I'm good. Mm-hmm.
He's playing with another number 42 overall draft pick. You know,
okay.
This is a weird statistic. So, Pierre Jackson, a.k.a. Papi, who was the top shooter, who's the point guard for El Ahly Libya, he was picked number 42 in the 2013 NBA draft by the 76ers,
Philadelphia 76ers.
Kevin Murphy was picked number 42 the previous year, 2012, by the Utah Jazz. I don't know whether El Ahly just wanted to go for number 42.
Listen, he might have walked in and said, yo, 42 is my number, playboy.
Right, absolutely. We see some the players right now just practicing their shots. If you can get some sound, practicing their shots will be, I think, tip-off will be in a few minutes. El Ahly Libya playing against Uganda's City Oilers. City Oilers need to win this, Mike.
Must win. Must to win. This is a must win. This is a must win for the City Oilers.
Do you think they already booked their flight back to Kampala?
Listen, you never know.
The longer you wait, the tickets are going to make sense.
More expensive. That's funny. City Oilers must win this game. Once again, they do have a couple of stars. You know what? I'm really intrigued to see how this will work out. Because what I have noticed with Bal is at times when one team steps out, the other team is like, all right, let me just handpick one or two players.
Right.
We had an interview with some players from Cape Town Tigers, and they were highlighting that, for example, one of their star players,
Lebese Saleba.
We spoke to Lebese, but he was talking about. His name just skipped my mind, but the American player, the one who's playing in Asia right now, he's their star player. Jesus, it's going to come to me.
Right.
He might not make it to the next round because right now he's now stuck back in his professional
league.
And so they might look into picking one or two players
from the City Oilers.
You never know.
You think before Dan Miller takes the flight, they're like, yo, come
listen,
here.
We have a contract for you because you never know. If they make it to Rwanda, they might need that star power.
Right.
So it's really intriguing to see how BAL is working out for some players.
Yeah,
but once again, I think it goes back to we want to see more local talent doing its thing. There should be no reason why, for example, if Kevin Murphy doesn't make it to Rwanda, he should somehow make it under a different attire.
Absolutely.
That should not be a thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We should now focus on grooming local talent as Bal moves forward. But once again, it's work in progress. Absolutely. We're only on season
Absolutely.
4.
Absolutely. Again, the way the excitement by local fan bases towards local players is different
right.
when you bring in somebody from the US to come and play.
Because they don't know
them.
They
don't know you. They've never, you know, they only see you when you come to play in the tournament. But also, let's say last year when Uganda won the local league before they made it to the Basketball Africa League, 90% of the players that won that league were not featured
in
the Basketball Africa League. Again, defeats the purpose of why we're doing this in
right,
the first place.
Right.
Because we are here, the league wants to groom young people from these communities to come and play and feature for their countries in these big tournaments, ultimately hoping that either they make it to the NBA or just
or
like
somewhere.
Or
right.
somewhere. But if you're only using these guys who were drafted in 2010, 2012, you know, in the NBA, you're
there
not really
no
doing
space.
Justice to
there
the league
no
itself. You're not doing justice to the league itself. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. We'll continue to bring you live coverage here at the Voice of America. I'm with my guy, Mike Hobe.
Yes,
we were together here Saturday. El Ahly, we watched El Ahly play against, El Ahly Libya play against El Ahly Egypt, which is a game that they lost. And now Libya returns to play against Uganda's City Oilers. And we are about to have a tip-off in Cairo. They're still shooting around a little bit. At the Hassan Mustafa Indoor Sports Complex in Cairo. You know, really nice-looking complex, obviously. Egypt has invested in the sport of basketball more than many of the other countries on the continent, aside, say, from Kigali,
South Africa,
Angola. We haven't seen the Angola, but I'm sure, I assume Angola
No, Petro has got they've got an arena, my friend.
Right, absolutely. And these are investments that are... private sector investments, mm-hmm. public sector investments, so, you know, both, you know, public and private sector coming together to
make it work.
Invest in the game.
What I find interesting and what I do applaud for the Basketball Africa League is how they're creating an avenue. We all can't be soccer players. We all can't be rugby players. We all can't be... Now, I remember, once again, to go back to my playing days, a lot of people decided, even though they were good, they were like, I'm never going to make it to the NBA.
Right.
Because they're like, yo, in America, it's tough.
It's more competitive there.
It's deep. But now you're creating avenues for those players to actually be able to say, you know what, let me actually try ball out and see how this thing works out. And somehow there is now an avenue for them to delve deeper into that
Absolutely.
Professional world.
And one of the other after effects of the effects of having Bal or your team play in the Basketball Africa League is that also energizes young people that are playing either in high school or elementary school in local colleges to do better with their mm-hmm. sport, with their game, because there's hope that, you know, this is not going to end here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I remember growing up and, you know, I remember guys who were so good in basketball in high school and they never really went anywhere. When your chances, when a couple of years after playing on the local league, you don't go anywhere, you know, whether age catches up or, you know, younger players come and, you know, take over, and you find this guy walking on the street who had so much potential.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But somehow.
It didn't go anywhere. He didn't have the avenue to take his game to the next level.
Listen, making it professional in any sport is not easy, right? And if you're thinking about it, I remember, and I'm sure you can speak to it, growing in Africa, if you're going to be an athlete, you must be very sure, because your career choices can be very limited, right? And once again, we all can't be soccer players, but making it as a soccer player is tough. We all can't be rugby players, making it as a rugby player is tough. We all, now opening up all these different avenues, you had people who were good athletes who could play basketball, but somehow they were like, you want to play basketball, you can't even make money in Africa. Now there's an option for you.
Yeah.
Basketball Africa League is presenting those options. It's now linking you to different, you know, avenues. You can now find yourself playing in the FIBA World Cup. You can now find yourself playing in the G League.
Yes.
There's so many different avenues that it's linking you to that this is something to be applauded.
Absolutely. And also what it says to the private sector, the people who have the funds and the resources, that we need to invest in this, because this attracts the eyeballs. We'll see that on the screen we have the City Oilers lineup: Patrick Remba, Joms Okello, Eloko, Randy Culpepper, Dan Anthony Miller, Kahaman Malwach, South Sudanese, but he plays for the City Oilers. We should say there's so many South Sudanese. Uganda has
and
a very
Bao,
huge,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, Uganda has a huge South Sudanese community there, so it's no, you know, I'm not surprised that we do have some City players, you know, City Oilers featuring South Sudanese. El Ahly Libya, on the other hand, has we see some of their guys from South Sudan also. Guys that have featured before in the Basketball Africa League making their return. We also guys were kind of journeymen, playing for one team this year. Next year they play for another team. Pierre Deshaun Jackson. I don't know whether this is his second year or his
first
year.
It is his second year.
Yeah.
Second.
But he's also a game changer for them in the way he plays his game. Hopefully that this time around they're going to spread the ball to their big man. Papi, last week, I mean on Saturday, he was kind of holding the ball and kind of showing off his skill. You know, he has a lot of skills, but the game of basketball is not a one-man sport. It's not golf, it's not tennis.
No.
It's a five-man sport. So move the ball around. I think, you know, City Oilers are coming into this with a chip on their shoulder. Definitely, they want to win this. They don't want to go home. Nobody wants to go home. El Ahly Libya Sporting Club, Kevin Marquez Murphy, Pierre Deshaun Jackson, Mahmoud Ben Alhaji, Majok Machal
Deng,
Lual Akir, two South Sudanese.
In the starting five.
Yeah, starting five. Yes, a solid starting five. The question is, how big is the bench? How solid is the bench? Because that also makes a difference. When you guys get tired, you don't want to play the same guys all through,
throughout the whole game. You get tired.
It can be tiring. And, you know, we see the depth of El Ahly Egypt, the difference it made in Saturday's game against Libya, is that they were able to bring in some of those guys at the bench. And when the, you know, leading guys were getting a little tired, and you know, they made the difference, at least I guess when we started F, remember, they were kind of equal, matched up. And then you see El Ahly Libya getting a little tired. Oh, we do have tip-off. Let's go to Cairo, guys.
Going, the City Oilers are the team that have the ball in hand with this man, Patrick Rambert. 7 rebounds, 21 points in his opening game. He'll try and better that. Last outing wasn't as good against Bangui. They lost 101-88. As we see a little swivel there from Dane Miller Jr. as he tries to go and find a little bit of space and time. And the points go up. First points go for the Oilers.
Maybe a message here from Miller Jr. Maybe he's heard that he's got to pick up a little bit of play inside the paint, and he goes aggressively with his back to the basket, chance to go to the free throw line.
I think this is really good. You know, it's interesting. I think that there's been conversations, you know. We talk about the coaches and how important it is for them to just make sure that they've got the players have got their backs covered, you know, from the coach who understands and makes sure that they, you know, work together. He's obviously had a talk with Dane Miller Jr., who's come to the fore. Maybe a big game on the cards today.
13 points, 9 boards, 3 assists in his last outing, but you expect a little bit more production from him.
Well, there's Murphy trying to go for 2 points, unable to sink them. Miller Jr. gets it out. Rambert for 3, doesn't manage to go. The tidy up at the back doesn't happen either for that man, Malawash. And Murphy back in possession, long range 3-pointer, back out from the metal, coming from Majok Deng. Lots of representatives of South Sudan on the court today, Hugh.
They are three front court players, three superb front court players, and it's going to be an interesting battle inside the paint for sure.
Over the top it goes. There's your first score as well. Absolutely spot on there from the big man, Kamaan Malawash.
Well, first strike goes to Kamaan Malawash inside the paint. Nice move to get it over at Chuel.
Is Papi back over at Chuel. He's got Murphy. Murphy floats one over the top. It's absolutely sublime when he does that. Just it's dreamlike, isn't it?
He is crafty, skillful, and he gets the floater up, showing good touch.
I thought you were going to go on an alliteration run there with your C's.
The thought crossed my mind.
Here we go. And what about Afra block big time from the big man, Ashuil. We talk about the players from South Sudan. They're coming to the fore once again.
You look at the timing. Coming in on the chase down from behind, and that's his great defense to force the ball out of bounds.
Well, Okello trying to get his shots after a good pass from Rumba down that right side. Doesn't manage to find the points. It's 4-2 for the City Oilers. Good, strong start for them with Murphy. Just trying to find a little bit of space in the paint. Nice little ghosts in down towards the baseline and up and over and in.
Well, that was just sublime. Good footwork. And again, superb to get it up over the 218 frame of Malawash.
Rembert a little bit frustrated there as he runs into Pappy Jackson, and they get possession. Looks across, mystified towards the officials, and maybe give us a chance to talk about the officials today, Q, and who are here on court.
Kladji Mullah of the US is the, alongside Amir Tabubi and Omar C. of Mauritania.
Well, there's nearly an alley-oop opportunity there, but nicely done. And he sinks the points there, Ashuil.
Well, it's a battle inside so far. Start out on this one.
But they've just tightened things up a little bit from the start. Rembert trying to drop one over the top. It's been picked up, but what was Murphy who just hobbles off behind the basket.
Well, it's Pappy Jack who's...
Pappy Jack, I mean.
That call immediate, and that's going to be a concern right now for Coach Yeremich. He's ran 40 minutes, and they're averaging around 38 minutes a game in this conference in the last two games, and I'm sure they will have him looked at.
No, big time. And we Solo Diabate coming on to replace him immediately, of course, which is not a bad replacement to have on court for Alali Libya.
Arguably the sixth man, the supreme, extraordinaire in the Basketball Africa League. He seems to unlock winning whatever franchise he goes to.
Yeah, 1-2. Oh, get out of there. That is big from that man, Malawash.
Two big body frames going at it, and that this time, Malawash just trying to stay ahead, gets a hand into the space, but it's the timing. Again, difficult to get up over him.
You could say so. And then going up for 2 points here, mid-range, beautiful down the side there.
Deng is showing us that he has nice touch from close to the bucket and extends it out, and that's a beautiful fadeaway jump shot.
We'll keep an eye on Pappy Jack and how he deals with that injury. That's a nice opportunity. Oh, my word, look at that. That came from nowhere from Randy Culpepper's Jr.
Found some time and space and knocks down the long-range shot.
I'd call him senior from now on as well. Here we go, Murphy. Murphy goes up, and it just comes back off the metal.
Tentative start by both teams there, feeling each other out on the offensive end and finding some executions as they try to ramp up the intensity. Another look here at Murphy. Gets Malawash in the air and then gets right into the body and is able to draw the foul.
Straight to the free throw line. 7 points for the City Oilers. Alali Libya just nudging themselves ahead. No chance. There's Pappy. So I think it was an ankle injury, wasn't it? He hobbled off, and he wasn't in a good place.
No, he called it immediately, and he still looks like he's struggling, favoring that ankle.
There's a lot of attention around him. The medics from the City Oilers team, of course, from the Alali Libyan team, just surrounding him, and he's as the free throw goes in. You see that there's concern on the Alali Libya bench. Makes sense. Top player, isn't he? Rembert trying to get the ball to Malawash. Oh, he goes charging through, and that's going to be an offensive foul going against Malawash on Ashuil.
Ashuil anticipating Malawash coming at him hard and is able to take the charge and get to the ground. That's a very experienced defensive play. Just anticipating the contact. He takes the contact, goes down, and Malawash is going to pick up his second foul.
Yeah, something we need to keep our eyes on, of course, because the scenario is there. You know, he's the player that you really want, especially when you're hot after that second outing, you know, and what he produced in yesterday's on Saturday was just extraordinary.
It was his career high. He 29 points, 12 rebounds, and he was dominant on the offensive end and provided a primary point of attack for the Oilers.
Here is Murphy going through the middle. Goes up and out and in and out. And Murphy again down towards the baseline this time. Trying to charge, trying to use losing the ball to Dame Miller Jr. Trying to go around the outside. There's a little bit of contact over the line. And it will be possession going back to Alali. Tried to race down. Thought he had a little bit more space than he had.
Well, he did the hard work on the defensive end. He got the steal and then he turned the ball over. Just a little bit of defensive pressure.
That's well. Murphy again. Floats one over the top. We've seen him do that already. Hasn't managed to double up. Dame Miller Jr. this time makes it safe out to Colt Pepper Sr. Colt Pepper Sr. for a three. It just doesn't fall on the right side. Picked up by Dame Miller Jr. trying to go right through the middle. No, he makes the pass, but the pass into the hands of James O'Keller is not a good one.
Well, watch the hard work of securing the offensive board. And probably still, as you see, just having a feel on that ankle. Still favoring it, but Miller Jr. turns it over, trying to be a little bit too smart, a little bit too casual with the basketball in hand.
The big question is, do you put Pappy Jackson on court if he's at 50% or not? I mean, or do you risk a more serious injury? Or you leave him out and deal with it and then have him recover for the next game? Nice score, nicely done from Joe Lual Atchuel.
I'd argue that they're two schools of thought. The old school, you get back on the court and you run, but now you take care and you try to prevent any further damage.
Here he is, Miller Jr. Trying to get his pass to Maluash Atchuel, just getting quite well connected, and foul going against him. And it's a timeout. Here we go. This is the moment that he went down, fell awkwardly on that ankle. And we'll see how he goes and whether or not he comes back. It's 7-12. Alali Libya in the lead.
Basketball Africa League coverage here on the Voice of America. City Oilers of Uganda playing Alali Libya. Mike, aside from Pappy Jackson, you know, having that issue with his ankle right now, how are things looking so far?
Yeah, I mean, looks like actually Libya have already turned on the burners. They're getting ready to put in a couple of points. The City Oilers, they're trying to fight back, but once again, I'm curious to see if Papi's absence in the game, he looks like he's trying to force to come back onto it. But at the same time, it's going to be a question to see whether or not that's possible. I'm curious to see how that's going to work. Yeah. This is also going to speak to Al Ahly Libya's depth. Can they play without Papi? Can they win without Papi? Will this work in City Oilers' favor? We wait to see.
Absolutely. Again, I don't know how deep the bench is, because for Pappy, he looks like he's limping back on court. Mm-hmm. I don't know which coach would allow their player to do that.
You know but I mean? At the same time, how desperate are you? You know
right,
I mean?
Right. It says a level of desperation that that you need on that level to, you know, pushing a guy that is clearly injured, but you have no other option but to bring him back on.
Yeah. So just a couple of updates. Of course, right now the current score is 12 points to Al Ahly Libya, 7 points to the City Oilers. Lual Akil is doing his thing, 6 points leading right now. Randy Lesher Culpepper, 3 points for the City Oilers. So those are your leading scorers in the game right now. Biggest total rebounds so far, Kamash Maluash, 2 rebounds are for the City Oilers, and Mahmoud Benaljaj is a 3 rebounds Al Ahly Libya.
And let's go back to Cairo.
Understand exactly what's going on. Small communication breakdown. It's work in progress.
Well, it's the 5th City Oilers turnover, and that's in just 5 minutes of play. They were trying to do a better job of taking care of the basketball.
And Bashir comes on to replace Dame Miller Jr. And Bashir had a really good impact in the opening encounter, of course, and put in a good stint against Alali in their opener at the very start. Very aggressive, good work in the paint. Doesn't hold back when he's trying to carve up the defense through the paint as Murphy goes up for a big three.
His versatility, the fact that he can knock down long-range shots or get inside, and you leave him open, he is a threat on the offensive end.
Big threat. Patrick Rambert back on distribution time. Duncan Pacini back to Rambert into single digits on the clock. Kaman goes up for three. Doesn't manage to get his range picked up by Papi Jack. Interesting to see that Solo Diabate still on court, of course. So you got two playmakers. Deng goes down the left side. Made safe by Malawash.
Well, right now, they're being out-executed, our other Sydney Oilers. That's how they've managed to go down 8 points. Just more efficiency on the offensive end from this experienced Al Ahly team.
Malawash tries to go right through. That man, Deng, decides to come back. That was really a wonderful score as he just step back marginally. The ball goes back out. They'll have possession.
Malawash trying to feel his way into the offense again. It reminds me of the first game that we saw where he had no points in the first half. You know, playing with a little bit more restraint. And that's perhaps because he's coming up against two players that know his game well.
Yeah, and you know, it does it. You've got to get the lay of the land, haven't you? Tyson has just come on to replace Malawash, so we'll see him a little bit later on. He'll go back to the bench, think about what he was doing, where he's moving, how he's communicating and playing with his teammates, and come back on a bit later on. Colpin Pacinia down into the hands of the ever-dangerous Ocallo. He's been working well in the paint. A couple of really good scores in that loss against Bangi when he took the pass in the paint. He's a very strong player when he's in the key.
Yeah, he's a physical presence, and that matchup inside against any of the bigs on the Al Ahly side will be interesting to keep an eye on.
So Dane Miller Jr. just literally went off, comes back on, a little bit of advice, tries to go for that shot, and well, it's just the end because of the shot clock, and can't get it in. Missing out on vital points, 7:15. They don't want to allow that scoreline to just drift away, right?
They have to get a bucket. They've got to get a score, and they've got to execute on the offensive end.
Diabate drops it in to Achuel. Tries to use the elbow grease and maneuver himself around. Floats right over the top. Delightful to the eye.
But he had options. The option he chose was the sky hook up over and in.
Rembert gets the ball back. It's Titus for a big long-range three-pointer. Back out off the metal. Papi Jack in possession. Goes again for Achuel. Nicely done. Good use and good strength there in the paint from the big South Sudanese player.
The Oilers are just being dominated inside. They've gone inside, 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 and a couple of long-range shots, but they need to shore up the paint. Pure patience here on the offensive end, dropping into Achuel, and he finishes, just goes right to the rim.
It's fascinating the way that you've got Papi Jack. He can adjust his game so that he doesn't have to, you know, do all of that crazy wily stuff when he goes snaking into the defense. He can actually do the distribution game, which is also, you know, a fine skill that he has in his set.
Read and react, understanding what the options are, and they go inside the paint, and it's paid them dividends. 10 points in the paint already for the Al Ahly team, 9 coming from the outside. And now the defense has got to adapt and adjust to what's being exploited. And it's going to be, they might see a zone. We might see Coach Kareem Nisbah make a couple more adjustments. We might see Malawash come back in with those two fouls.
Q, you're quite the same, and like Papi Jack. You make those adjustments and you just like sort of, you know, a move in the right place, you know, at the right time.
I'll take that. Thank you, sir.
Ah, there we go. That's number one that I've thrown in Q's way. He'll take that. Anyway, 12 points. City Oilers trailing. Karim Nisbah not into double figures, and we're closing in on the end of this first quarter. Need to get yourself, you know, that confidence. He needs to get those players working, understanding, you know, that they should be able to pass the ball to each other with their eyes closed. The thing is that they haven't spent that much time together, which makes it quite complicated to read movement.
Chemistry is the ability to adjust as a team and make decisions on the floor. But Ken Achuel points to lead all scorers. They need to figure out something to keep the ball out of his hands. But there's just so many different ways that this Al Ahly Libya team can hurt you.
Yeah, they are very talented, aren't they? Lots of different variation. Whoa, it's going to go in beautifully, Dan. And that's a big score, an important score, because they're up to 9. And there was a little bit of contact, of course. So he goes straight up to the free throw line, Mr. Opong.
Opong gets the shooter's roll, finally falls in, and maybe a little bit of relief out of the timeout for the City Oilers, finally getting a chance to break the scoring run.
No double figures just yet for the City Oilers. Hoping to hit that fast lane at one point soon. Need to hit back. Alali Diabate, the Ivorian, two-time winner of the BAL.
They go inside. The play is set to allow Achuel to go to work inside the low post. And they're struggling with the coverage. He picks up. He's able to draw a foul. 13 foul.
1:54 left on the clock. 10-point advantage here. And Papi Jack is Deng. Gets the ball back. Achuel just on the side. Gets the ball into the hands of Deng. Deng goes up. It's a fallback. It's a little bit short for Deng. Under a lot of pressure. Good defensive play. They put the pressure on the man.
That's some defense. Dave Miller Jr. applying the pressure, forcing the miss and forcing the turnover.
Nice quality player, you know. If he brings his A game to the court, you know you're in trouble. Dave Miller Jr. Bashir. Just a little bit off target there. Just couldn't get his sight set on the big three-pointer. 1:33 left to play. Papi Jack up against Rembert. Ducking and diving, waits for that pass. Gets it into the paint, we know where it's going. Achuel tries to... Oh, he does really well. But...
I really love the patience here from Alali. They are making sure that Achuel gets a touch every time down. And now the contestation... On the finish, they want the continuation, and they get it, so you can count the bucket.
Yeah, there's a little bit of celebration off the bench there the moment that, you know, the points were given up to 21, and he goes to the free throw line. It's just underlining the importance of this Alali Libya team and the way that they look very, very they look very controlled and organized in offense queue.
They're not being pressured to do anything out of character, and they built an 11-point run without even breaking a sweat.
Yeah, there's something that you've got to say about these City Oilers. They might need to just step it up and be a bit more physical as Opong tries to go up because they're being outmatched. That's nicely done there by Solo Diabate. Murphy picks it up straight through. No, it isn't. It's a dunk there. Get in there. Mr. Achuel makes his entrance big time.
Giving up good for great, getting the extra pass in, and Achuel now 14 first quarter points. He's on fire.
They need to just step it up physically. They need to really take it at them. It's a little bit loose around the edges at the moment, and they know it. Bashir is the player that can do it. That was a fine example of what you can do.
That's how you see it, how we've seen him play. When he attacks the rim, is almost unstoppable. Great move.
Into double points they go, Q. Sorry, Anilia. I nipped your word at the very end. Maybe about two letters of your last word. Sorry about that.
I accept.
11-23. Look at Solo Diabate. Quick transition. And picked up by Murphy. Wonderfully done. And the short pass from Murphy.
He draws two defenders. And then he gets the pass into Achuel, who finishes. And look at defense. The intensity on the other side from Alali Libya.
Solo Diabate, defensively strong, of course, just as slick and nippy and crafty as he is on a fence. He does the business at the back of the court as well.
And Kevin Murphy at the free throw line, a D-League All-First Team player in 2014, and noted for his ability to score. At the FIBA Asian Cup, he was an all-star, a top scorer, and part of the first team.
And looking very comfortable up the line as well with a pair of points just to increase the tally. We've got 24 seconds remaining here in Cairo. Need to get the ball back out. Is Bashir going up for a big three-pointer? It doesn't go in. Rolling around and out. Solo Diabate slowing things down. They go, no, there's no pressure. There's no pressure.
Hold for the final shot of the quarter.
And it's a big long range shot, but just a stall. So there's the attempt by Achuel to get it up there. And that's the end of the first quarter. And a demonstration from Ahli Libya in this first first quarter at 11:25.
If that shot had fallen from Macho, it would have capped off an amazing first quarter for him. But you know, when the ball's going for you, it fell into his hands. He just couldn't get the finish. A lot of work to be done by the City Oilers, who feel at the break they need to up the intensity. It's been all a la league in the first quarter.
We'll take a small break and we'll be back in a moment.
Basketball Africa League special coverage here on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi, joined by my colleague Mike Hove. 11:25 for Libya, Uganda, and City Oilers. Mike. Man, this has been a tough quarter for them.
City Oilers are not looking good at all.
And they need this win.
They need this win.
But they don't look like they're really hungry for it. the way they're playing.
The way they're playing, man. They're shooting air balls. They're not defending. Yeah. They're not taking it to the paint. Yeah. They just need to collect every point, because every point at this point matters. I don't know why they keep trying to take it from the three. I don't know if it's because because sometimes if you're hot and you're banking those threes, you close that gap faster.
But you're not banking.
So take it to the paint.
Yes, absolutely.
Take it to the paint.
And we saw that the first point they made in like 2 minutes of play was they actually went into the paint, but all of them are just shooting outside, and it's not going in. So, you know, what is a coaching problem? You know,
I'm curious to hear the conversation that they'd be having right now. If you're the coach, if I'm the coach, the first thing I'm saying is, yo, go to the paint.
Yeah.
Take it into the paint. If you're picking up and ones, pick up and ones. Mm-hmm. Let it be what it be, but stop trying to shoot for the three, because each time you shoot for the three, it's breaking. It's either breaking or it's airballing. Right. Like, you got to stop doing that.
It's embarrassing to just be airballing like twice every couple of minutes. For El Ali Libya, their point guard, Pierre Jackson, a.k.a. Papi,
he's back
injured, but he's back. And we saw that, at least I see that he's now playing. He's really embraced his point guard position. He's passing
the ball.
Mm-hmm. To his guys, and you know they're able to make the buckets. They're converting much better than on Saturday, where he was doing the work all by himself. And maybe this time around, his ankle has spoken to him and say, "Listen, you can't be doing these things." Again, this guy who joined the NBA in 2012, so he's been around quite a minute. He's not a 21-year-old who can afford to do the things that he was doing. Like when we saw him doing those moves in game
spinning
one,
spinning and
doing all kinds of reverses and stuff. But yeah, let's go back to Cairo for the second quarter.
And Malawash needs to get a little bit more into this as well. He's picked up two early fouls, of course, so you've got to be watch out for him. Going over the top, the attempt to try and just hook it over the top doesn't happen, and a little bit frustrating because these are the points that they need to get.
Again, great defensive pressure from Machuel, just forcing a rush shot from Malawash.
That is sensational. Unfortunately, it did manage to fall there for Idris Azu, the 23-year-old Libyan. Down in the other corner, big attempt at three. Oh, Bashir Kim's rocking in. And finally, a good score there for Malawash.
Manufacturing his own offense, he picks up the offensive board and he turns around for the hook shot and two needed points for the Oilers.
Second chance points, a pair each. Azu, Solo Diabate. A little acceleration right through. He goes all alone. Solo Diabate. Solo effort. Solo score.
Superb solo. Absolutely amazing on that drive. Gets in between two bigs for the finish.
Great acceleration for the two-time winner of the BAL. Here he is. Charging through the attempt there, but it doesn't happen there for Opong. At the other end, they get another chance cutting in. There's Murphy. Murphy holds it, goes up, is swatted back out as you down into the corner, and a good opportunity there for a three-pointer there from Hamad, but it doesn't find its way. Diabate has it back safe at the back. Shot clock down to seven.
Third chance opportunity for Al Ahly.
Oh, Diabate doing wonderful stuff. The shot clock down. Oh, he nearly gets it in as well. An opportunity, but in any case, it's back up the other end. Miller Jr. put it in. It's an easy two.
Finally, after securing a defensive board, they get an easy two out in transition on the fast break.
A 12-point lead here for Al Ahly Libya. And the team are with Murphy's Law is the main one.
Makes his own law. They've been considered in terms of the way they're selected to take long-range shots. He connects for his second one from outside the arc.
A little slip there from Obon, gets the ball back into the hands of this senior called Pepecini. Oh, snatched away. Diabate, he knows that he can go home alone. Diabate time, big time. Good score. Wonderful stuff there from the Ivorian.
He's just playing so under control, Solo Diabate. He came in on the injury from Papi Jack, but since he's been on the floor, giving them something on the defensive end and also showcasing his ability on the offensive side.
Outrageously good. Culpepper Senior losing possession. Sniper's hands. I love it. We're going to take a break. You know what I'm saying.
Flex cam action. If the camera hits you.
Basketball Africa League, a live coverage of the Nile Conference here at the Voice of America. Remember to follow us at voaafrica.com. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. We are covering the City Oilers of Uganda versus El Ahly of Libya. The game that Uganda City Oilers must win. But as we
it's not looking like that mass win is materializing, brother.
City Oilers has lost so far two games in this Nile Conference. They need this to stay in this. You know what I'm saying?
They're knocking on door number three, if you ask me, man. Right now, the score is 32-15. City Oilers, 15 points. Al Ahly Libya, 32 points. Score updates.
Yeah.
Lualual Ashil is still on 14 points. Kevin Murphy, shining on game two, man. He's on 12 points. Just the two of them already are contributing towards Al Ahly's majority of
Absolutely.
Al Ahly's points. Right now, Dane Miller Jr., 4 points for the City Oilers. And Kaman Malwash is on 4 points for the City Oilers. And Randy Culpepper Sr., 3 points for the City Oilers. So they're the ones who are contributing towards the East African team's
points. 4 points for the lead scorers. And three for, man, 7 minutes and 19 seconds into the second half. Basketball Africa League, Nile Conference, which started earlier this month, actually started on the 19th, will be ending on the 27th in Egypt, in Cairo. A must win for the City Oilers. Let's go back to Cairo.
Papi Jack is on the bench. We'll give you an update of his injury a little bit later on. Malawash, meanwhile, for the City Oilers, goes on a little bit of a move into the arc. He tries to go up a little bit short. Solo Diabate, who's really been outstanding in this start of this encounter between these two teams.
But alongside Murphy, who's got 12 points, they are just dissecting the defense thrown at them from the Oilers.
I think that was City Oilers' possession. I think the last touch possibly came from that man, Hamad.
Oilers need to get a couple of scores and a couple of stops, see if they can't build some momentum and just make inroads into the lead, and that's how you do it. The cliche is one possession at a time.
And you've got Malawash. You know, I'm not saying he's just the only player on the court. No, by no means. There's quality, but you need to get that confidence. You need to find those opportunities. Tony Dreleva against the ball, and there's Obong going up for a big long-range three. Oh, it's so close, just coming back out. That would have done the world of good, Q.
It would have, especially after his first make. He has struggled from the field throughout this competition, but a scorer, all you need to do is see it go through once, and it can ignite the spark.
Zou gets the ball out to Al-Maghrebi. Al-Maghrebi a little bit short. Who's going to go for it? You've got to stand up and be counted. Picked up by Dreleva. Dreleva down into the corner. Picked up by that man, Obong. And through the middle, Dane Miller Jr. unable to do anything with that. He kind of just forgot the ball. Yeah. Al-Maghrebi layup for two.
Taking the turnover, turning it into points. They come back the other way and they punish the mistake from the City Oilers. And Al-Maghrebi finishes right through the contact. He catches it. And you see the two steps, the contact from Dreleba, the finish from Al-Maghrebi.
It's a big bloke, isn't he? Al-Maghrebi, when he goes on a little bit of a wander, you know that he means business.
Well, listed at 206, 102 kilograms, certainly is a big fella. Libyan international. Represented Libya AfroBasket qualifiers and pre-qualifiers, averaging about 7 points, 5 rebounds, and 1.3 assists.
Fine score there. So happy to be in the BAL, playing in the BAL for the very first time. Just like a lot of these players here. Contact that's been made by Zhu, and it's Treleba who'll get possession back.
Zhu getting some court time. Chance to earn some more minutes.
Listen, remember, he hasn't got any points just yet. And when you actually look at what he produced in game one, it was like 7 rebounds, 21 points. Needs to come to the fore and try and charge himself up. There's a traveling call, and they will get possession back.
Well, that's a bailout for the Oilers as the ninth turnover comes as Miller tries to get the pass into Malawash. And now a couple of forced changes. Miller heads off, Bashir comes in, and so does Captain Okello.
Captain Okello. Rembeck. Where's the Malawash-Rembeck connection? It's something that we love to see, and it was so effective in that game that they played yesterday against Bangui. Long-range shot from Jerleba, short. Solo Diabate goes straight down to Zhu. Zhu into the middle. And Bal Maghribi. Solo Diabate chucks it over the top. There it is, Al-Maghribi. And this time he's caught out, monitored there by Bashir. Malawash through the middle, needs to get it in, doesn't manage to get it in. Flying off and into the bench of the City Oilers.
I think that kind of sums up the first quarter, or first couple of quarters we've seen from the City Oilers. It was the right decision for Malawash, opting to go coast to coast, but you're going to take it up. You've got to finish. Goes a little bit too strong, and it comes off the iron. And the two needed points instead turns into a Al Ahly possession.
Murphy in the middle. He's done that so many times. Kevin Murphy is just literally lighting it up. He's up to 14, matching Achuil with as the top tally scorers. Here's Bashir for two. Didn't manage to get two. Made safe for the back by Sofyan Hamad.
A 4 of 10 now, Murphy from the field. He is a scorer. They will play through him, and he's got license from Coach Yeremich.
Yeah, but his points are coming from exactly the same move every single time. Surely they've got to close that down and just not allow him to come through.
That golden rule is...
Oh, Zhu from the sky comes down. Big score indeed.
If it ain't broken, don't fix it. That's where I was headed.
You got it in, Q. Right on cue. Right on cue. You can say that in so many different ways. There we go. It's just a race through and an attempt there to try and drop it in. But Jolava doesn't get those points. It's picked up by his opposite number 10, Solo Diabate, the Ivorian. Masterful so far. An absolute legacy for Ivorian basketball. He's going to go up again unless Malawash says no.
Fantastic defense. Maybe can spark something here on the offensive end for the Oilers.
Nita get a little bit of a bite. They're just not, they haven't got that bite when they're playing their offensive game. Look at that, they're queuing up to try and get a shot in. And what does he do? The same thing again. Murphy is Murphy, and Murphy does what Murphy does.
He is absolutely lighting it up. And a look at the defensive play there from Malawash, and there. Well, on replay, that could have been a goal tip, but. Live play, the call was made, the bucket won't count. Four points so far for the Oilers in the second quarter. They're struggling to break down the Ali defense.
Need to get points. Need to, you know, get the confidence boost. The confidence boost when they actually do manage to get those points will change something around. Picked up here. Here is James Okello. Rambert. Oh, finally, Rambert comes to the fore. Scores the layup, 2 points, and they move up to 17. Chop it down. Chop down that lead. Let's get it sorted. Let's see a little bit of a tussle taking place. Zhu goes all the way. That's a lovely drive. Get out of there. Malawash again showing the class with the defensive rebound. Bashir. Oh! Knocked out of his hands. And that is a foul. And it's a foul by Zhu.
It's a technical foul that's going to be called on Coach Karim Nesbah. He comes in. He wanted the foul call on the contact. And made it known to the referees, and then he goes ahead and picks up a foul on the technical foul. That's going to be a shot here for Al Ahly.
Straight up to the free throw line, of course. And, you know, you've got to keep cool, haven't you? Oh, he's coming back down.
He gets up so high, and again, just comes off the glass. The second time we've seen them miss that call. two blocks in the column before Malawaj.
I mean, you know, it's. I don't just want to see him play, you know, a five-star defensive game. We also like to see him at the other end, you know, just providing us with the wizardry that we know that he's fully capable of doing. But, you know, they need to keep calm. Karim Nesbar's trying to get this team to work. And, it, you know, it's a complicated mission, but they can make it happen.
When you see the pick and roll happen, that action happening at the top between Rembert and Malouas, that's the place I think they need to go.
There's Rembert, he draws the foul there. That's nicely done. It's El Maghrebi who will pick up his second foul. But Rembert's done that twice there. And, you know, and he got points the last time, didn't get the points on this occasion. But he does draw a lot of attention. And when he goes, you know that you've got a decoy man with Malouas who's just somewhere behind him. But
El Maghrebi picks up the foul because of the matchup. And it's a speed mismatch that Rembert tried to exploit. He gets to the rim, gets the contact, and he'll build on that. He's a decent free throw shooter. The ideal outcome is either a bucket or a score.
I'm going to ask you for his percentages now, but I'll give you a couple of minutes. It's okay, Hugh. It's all right. Don't worry. Just to sit back, relax a little bit. We'll come back to that later. But the fact is, you're right. Safe hands at the free throw line. Rembert knows exactly that, you know, that's a good place for him to be. The fact is that if he goes dancing through the paint, you know that you've got other possibilities if he draws that attention that he does every time.
Absolutely.
Picked up by Hamad. Hamad, it's 19-43.
Rembert picks up the foul.
Yeah, that's his first foul. Second foul. Okay, I'll go back to what I originally said. It's his first. Coach Yaramich will be quite content with what he's seen so far. This has been a clinical performance, but it doesn't look like they've actually pushed themselves too much. And they don't have Pappy Jack on court now since he went off the last time. And he might be... Well, that's Rembert charging up, and the block was made there by Hamad. And he was still moving, though, so it will be... Oh, might be a jump ball, actually. I think it is.
I think they just 50. Called... Yeah. They 50-50. Just the last touch goes out of bounds, and it still is... Oh, it is basketball.
Well, here we go. This is Achuel. He's going home alone. You will not stop the man producing a monster dunk like that. Achuel.
Coming in and having immediate impact and picking up right where he left off. 16 points for Achuel.
Bashir gets the ball back out, goes on a bit of a charge through. The charge comes to a dead end, a cul-de-sac. Rembert has the ball in his hands. It's been picked up here by Bashir. Bashir goes again. There's a little attempt to try and get that ball over the top. Murphy commits the foul.
The last three possessions from the Oilers, they're starting to find ways to start breaking down this LLE defense. You get a paint penetration from Bashir, and then we have another look. Achuel steals it and take off, because the runway is clear. And that is picking up right where he left off in the first quarter.
MQ, he doesn't take off. He doesn't need to. He's so tall, he just places it in. Come on. He is just, you know, he's a big guy. So, I mean, you know, let's give him. He's 213, 102, but 213, come on.
That's
he barely takes his feet off the ground and still slams in the monster dunk. This is the
first shooting. Graceful. Bashir.
So I'm a big fan of Bashir because he brings the physical attributes that some of the other players don't, because they're a little bit hesitant going into the, you know, the tall and very physical forest that is the Al-Ali defense.
It's what we call a junkyard dog. You know, he just gives that, I'm going to give everything on the floor every time he's on the floor.
Murphy unable to find that man, Achuel, on that occasion. Culpepper Sr. picks it up, gets it wire right down into the corner. Rembert for three. Loads of time to try and get that. Malouas goes for the rebound, gets the rebound. But there is a call on, I think, Achuel, and he might have picked up his second foul. This is wait. I think that
the call is on. Actually, he is trying to contest it, but I like what I'm seeing from Malouas. He's up to the intensity inside the paint, and the physicality has definitely been pushed up a little, dialed up a little bit more of a notch.
And he's
El Mansouri about to come on for Achouil because Achouil's picked up his second foul. Al Maghribi's got two, and Zou and Murphy have got two. We're 1:20 away from the end of the first half, of course, and on the other side we do have Odeke and Malouash who have got two fouls each.
Going deeper into his rotation, Coach Jeremic, he had five DMPs in the game against the other Al Ahly team. You know, use the limited rotation. It's got to go a little bit deeper because they are still second round games to come. And given where they are, a little bit more game management, I think we'll see from the coach.
Two fine scores there from the free throw line for Malouash. Bashir keeping Zou at bay. Diabate with Rumba racing around. Oh, Murphy does really well to deal with Culpepper Senior. The squabble at the back and finally has been picked up by Diabate for Al Ahly. Murphy again. Murphy gets the ball back out. Diabate, 3 seconds remaining. Need to get their shot in. It's not going to happen. Good defence. They put up a...
Yeah, that is a... pretty good defensive possession up to this point. They've got to close out that final 1.6 seconds as a timeout called. They're going to try and get a baseline out of bounds execution and see if they can't just get 2 points out of that final 1.6 seconds that remain.
If you were on the court, Q, you'd be able to nail that, wouldn't you?
I would at least make the pass to someone who's going to be up there close.
Or someone will make the pass to you more so, right? Come on, let's say facts in the eye. You know, you're no small chicken, are you?
No, I'm not. I don't know what you want me to
you're
say.
You're a big guy. You know, and you will definitely take that pass. Jeremic just talking with his players. Tactics, how they're going to deal with this. Last play before they head into the changing room, of course.
It's all about execution. This is likely going to be a lob close to the rim. And
51 seconds remaining, of course, and 1.6 on this play.
Yeah, a lob looking for a dunk. Either that or they use a decoy on Murphy as the lead scorer on the floor. 17 points and 5 of 13 with 3 assists. He's just... been masterful as Murphy.
Where's it going? Still looking. Goes out to Zou. Zou goes up for the big 3-pointer. Off. Oh, my word, the buzzer beater for Zou. That was just outrageously good.
Fantastic.
Good charge and a little bit of attention heading towards Culpepper Senior. Goes straight to the free throw line. They erase what just happened. But how about that? Just getting at 1.6 and he still manages to beat the shot clock.
Well, I got it absolutely wrong. They go outside. It's the catch and shoot and the bank is open here in Dr. Hassan Mustafa Arena as Zou knocks down a big time 3-pointer.
23-48, 25 point difference here. Culpepper Senior looking to try and get his seconds here. And Zou gets a lot of credit there. That's a good little innings for him. He'll be very happy with that. Totally understandable.
Get some words as well from Coach Jeremic. Just having a conversation. At no doubt what he's going to do with the next time he gets a look in on the floor.
23-year-old Bolivian player. Solo Diabate, we got 30 seconds remaining in the first half. Ball goes down into the corner, picked up. There's a little shake of the head. It goes out this time. Long range shot, made safe at the back. Bashir doing really well. Oh, Culpepper Senior unable to keep that because Diabate's snake hands are around.
He is so sharp. Solo Diabate picking up another steal, forces another turnover, and they can close out this possession.
Yeah, against the same player as well. Diabate, 3 seconds, goes inside and he goes up, tries to get it around. Oh my word, that is the absolute class from Solo Diabate. He gets all of the credit for some of the things he does. That was extraordinary.
Awareness, he waited until the clock was down to 3 seconds. He steps in, goes between the defense, and he gets the roll. That is how you sum up a good first half performance, Al Ahly Libya, and Solo Diabate capping it
It's the halftime break. We'll be back in a few minutes' time.
Basketball Africa League special coverage here on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Bunganyi with Mike Hovey. It's halftime in Cairo. The Nile Conference matchup between El Ahly Libya versus Uganda's City Oilers. City Oilers has 24 points. El Ahly has
double that.
50 points. Before we started this game, Mike made predictions that this is gonna be a blowout, and the way it's looking right now, the City Oilers are coming into this with 2-0. They've lost their first two games. They don't look like they have a lot of chances unless they make some big time switches in the third quarter. But things are looking so tough for them. They are down by almost 25 points, and that's not a good place to be in coming into the half, Mike.
This is not looking good for the East Africans, man. The City Oilers need to pick their socks up if they have any hope whatsoever of picking up a W today. As you highlighted, Jackson, 50 points for Al Ahly Libya. The debutants are looking mean and hungry. But you know what's interesting is I remember over the weekend, me, you and Paul all highlighted one thing, is that it looks like every team is looking to prove a point. So when they lose they go, oh, we're playing City Oilers next. They're like, all right, we're here to get our lick back. You know what I mean? Al-Ahly just lost to Egypt. And they're like, oh, my God, they were ready to prove a statement. Oh, my God.
So the City Oilers is the team that everybody comes to.
That's the statement
at this
team.
Point.
You got to put it on and get ready.
They didn't have to do this, beat them by 25 points. Anyway, we're just in halftime. We still have, a couple of minutes to go.
We might just hit that 100 prediction.
And maybe, again, the City Oilers have a coach. Their coach will make some changes. Their coach is a former Moroccan men's national team captain and NBA Academy Africa player, development coach Karim Nesba. He's the new head coach for the City Oilers in the fall of 2023. That's last year. He served as the guest coach for the Sacramento Kings during the team's training camp and preseason under the guidance of the 2023 NBA coach of the year, Mike Brown. So maybe he learned a few tidbits here and there from Coach Mike Brown. But as it stands right now, he has not yet been able to convert that into any wins.
Those tidbits need to get active ASAP, Jackson, if they have any chance of picking up a point today, man. But just an update in terms of what it's looking like from stats standpoint. Kevin Murphy, still the leading point scorer of the game. Kevin Murphy with 17 points. Lual Ashil with 16 points. And, of course, the man who's most active on the court right now is Malako Diabate. Mm. He's got 6 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists.
And he made that last point where he just basically was weaving through the...
He was slicing through him like a hot knife in margarine, my friend. He was just... He's dancing on the court, bro. He's looking really good. Shout out to him.
You know, a man grew up in Africa when they reference margarine. Because we'd be talking about butter here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then for City Oilers, we've got Kaman Malash, 6 points. Randy Culpepper, 5 points. He still hasn't put up a point since the last announcement. Dan Anthony Miller Jr., 4 points. So those are, and then Kaman Malash, he seems to be the one who's putting it up for the City Oilers, 8 rebounds. Next up with him is Mohamed Bashir Ahmed, 3 rebounds. Robinson Opong Odosh, 2 rebounds.
Yes.
What I will say, though, is South Sudanese are really shining in this
tournament.
Oh,
absolutely.
Man. We're seeing
absolutely.
A lot of Juba.
Shout out, Luol Deng. My guy has really invested in the South Sudanese. We always knew there was potential there. They just needed somebody.
Yeah.
And again, speaking about Kaman Malwach, he's projected to be picked in the 2025 NBA lottery. Mm-hmm. He's a 7'1" center with a 7'5" wingspan. Okay.
Oh, man, that's a beast right there.
So again, City Oilers need this win.
More than anything,
they cannot lose this, because you know, losing this means they're going home.
Definitely, they can't even hope for a third place placement, yeah, because the way that everybody seems to go in and blow their blackout, they're just like, nah, man, it's small stuff. So the City Oilers need to make a statement. They need to catch one,
absolutely,
at least one beating.
Absolutely,
and this was the one that you know, everybody was like, yo, if they needed any points,
yeah,
this would be the game. But once again, the Libyans are like, yo, we're debutants, but don't play with us.
We're debutants, but we are veterans.
They're looking like veterans. They have a lot of players who are veterans in the
yeah,
game.
Yeah.
And
but again, the City Oilers also has good players on you know, on their roster. There's just not been, there's no chemistry.
That's another thing. Is it goes back to what you were pointing out, right? The demand to grow homegrown players, right? A lot of, when you get players from all over the world and you just throw them
these guys play together for weeks before the ball.
Because some of them participate in the road to ball tournament, which is only a couple of weeks just before ball. So for them, they don't get enough time for them to play together, enough time for them to know each other. If you look at, for example, Egypt's Al Ahly, you can see that there's only two foreign players, and you can see why, right? Because they definitely work together like a well-oiled machine. I'm intrigued by Al Ahly Libya, because they don't seem to have a lot of local grown players, but somehow they're still working. So
absolutely,
I'd be curious to hear the story behind them as to how long they've played together, how much time, because once again, they're debutants, right? So I can only imagine that they've been watching tape on Al Ahly Egypt, on City Oilers and all that. So I'm guessing that could only mean they've played together for some time beyond just a couple of weeks.
Right. Either way, whatever they're doing is working out for them.
It's working.
You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, they've lost their point guard, Papi, PL Jackson.
You can't
is
even
out.
Tell, bro.
Yeah,
they're
but you can't tell.
They're blowing them out
over
20
absolutely.
Points.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And going back just again to Kaman Malwash, the top scorer right now for City Oilers. Mm-hmm. Last summer, he was the third youngest player ever to participate in the FIBA World Cup, mm-hmm, when he helped South Sudan qualify for their first ever Olympics, which is expected to begin preparing for after the BAL season this summer in Paris. Malwash turns 18 in September and has only been playing basketball for 5 years.
Interesting.
Yeah. But he has made rapid improvements. You know, that person that really reminds me, he reminds me of his... the guy from Houston. Why am I blanking out? The legendary, iconic. I'm forgetting who he is. He also started. Playing at 17, and by, in less than 5 years, he was already playing for the NBA. So Malwash has, if you know, with the way we are seeing things, he has
that projection
to do big in the NBA. He surely will make it to the NBA with the kind of plays, you know, the level of plays putting up right now.
Which takes us back to that conversation of how we're seeing how ball is evolving, right? Mm. We're starting to see it as a nesting home, you know, for... Which I'm hoping will not be the long-term plan. But for now, it seems as though it's a nesting home for the NBA.
Right.
Is that a lot of players that typically would not have this opportunity of making it to the league, all these 16... Because if you notice, some of these big boys, these young stars, are all 16, 15, 16, 17, 18. Mm. And this is only showing that ball is becoming a fertile ground for the NBA, which is also helping, I guess, linking the continent towards... Because you're starting to see that a lot of faces for the league are of African descent.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's ball is becoming that... I'm sure as they noticed as the time went by, they started seeing more African players stand out. And they're like, hey, how do we tap more into that? And we have the evolution of the Basketball Africa League. So more of that will help. But once again, we need to prioritize local grown talent.
Absolutely.
That's a mass.
Absolutely. The NAL conference phase features five players from the NBA G League. Obviously, that's, you know, quite a big deal if you have played with the big boys here. Whether it's in the NBA or the NBA G League, that puts you on top of many of the players in Africa who have not had an experience of that level. Players like Kevin Murphy, who played for Grand Rapids Drive, PL Jackson, who playing the point guard for Al Ahly right now, you know, he just injured himself, plays for the South Bay Lakers. Patrick Gardner plays for the Long Island Nets. Dead Miller, who's featuring for the City Oilers, plays for the Oklahoma City Blue. We've seen Dan Miller really trying as much as possible to pass the ball in this matchup against El Ahly Libya, but it's just failing to convert. Something about the Oilers team right now is the chemistry is not working. And I don't know whether it's just the coaching is not working. The coach has not really figured out his players and playing styles, but it's just not clicking.
It's just not working out right now. But it also brings in the conversation of, does this speak more to the caliber of the City Oilers or more to the caliber of Al Ahly Libya, right? Mm-hmm. Because I have noticed Al Ahly Libya is strategically making sure that the City Oilers do not take it to the paint. They might have noticed that, hey, these guys keep bricking from outside. Let's suffocate them. And so they're not taking it to the paint. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times they're finding themselves pressed and they're trying to take it up from outside. They're trying to go for that three. Now, obviously, if they were banking those threes, that would help close that gap really fast. But at this point, I'm really curious to hear what the coach is saying. If he's telling them, yo, find a way to take it to the paint. Every 2 point matters at this point.
Absolutely.
Pick up those 2 points plus, and that and one that you're likely going to get in those files. That would help a lot.
Right, absolutely. At this point, El Ahly dominating in the paint with some powerful post moves, while Uganda relies on their perimeter shooting to keep up. But, you know... A lot of them is not really, you know, converting into points. Bricks on bricks or air balls on air balls.
They're building a dynasty at this point, my friend.
A dynasty of bricks. But El Ahly Libya came in here after, you know, losing to El Ahly Egypt. Mm-hmm. And this time around, they came in firing on all cylinders, going on a scoring run. Fueled by their relentless offense. Mm-hmm. I didn't see much defense in the first quarter.
No.
In the first quarter, but you know, as you can see, really, if you don't have so much to defend against,
that's the thing. Hence why I said, does it speak to the caliber of Al Ahly, or is it just that City Oilers don't have that offense?
Absolutely, absolutely, and the City Oilers really struggling to find that rhythm as the El Ahly Libya defense tightens up. Forcing a lot of these turnovers and, you know, mm-hmm. converting them into easy points. You know, hopefully, I mean, they're not within striking distance right now in, you know, going into the third quarter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's still a lot of time. And hopefully
there's a lot
they can,
of time to make a dent.
You know, chip away slowly by slowly. Mm-hmm. There's still 24 points, man. That's way
it's a lot.
Low. And, you know.
It's a lot. That's a long road. That's a long journey to freedom,
absolutely.
My friend.
Absolutely. But if you're just joining us, this is the Voice of America special coverage of the Basketball Africa League. My name is Jackson Bungenyi here in Studio 3. And I'm with Mike Hobe.
Yes, sir.
We are bringing you live coverage of the game between Uganda Oilers, which is 2-0 right now in the Nile Conference mm-hmm. games. They've lost two of their games. This is their third game. And the way things are turning out, maybe not so good. But
yeah.
They are playing against Libya, which has won, I think, one game.
One game, they won their first game, their opening game against Bangui.
Against Bangui.
And then they lost to Al Ahly, Egypt, and now it looks like they're about to pick up their second W.
Absolutely.
Against
Who is on top of that? Is it El Ahly, Egypt?
Al Ahly, Egypt is leading the pack right now, undefeated, looking
right.
like the veterans that they are. And then just below them, of course, is Al Ahly, Libya. In third place, we've got Bangui Sporting Club. But once again, they have one more game to play. If they are, for some reason, able to defeat the veterans, Bangui will likely occupy the second place, and in last place we have Uganda's City Oilers. Update on that.
Yeah.
The City the next game that will be played later on today will be Bangui taking on the veterans themselves, the hosts of the Nile Conference, Al Ahly Sporting Club. That will be later on today. And then on the 24th is when we will see the two debutants of the Nile Conference going up against each other. It will be interesting to see how that works out.
You mean that there'll be Bangui?
We're
going to
have Bangui playing
El Ahly
Libya. Yes,
right.
That is correct.
It's easy to confuse the teams El Ahly Libya and El Ahly Egypt because they have the same name. It's only difference of countries. So just make sure when you're watching those two teams that you know
one
who
has
is
an LY, one is just
right.
Al-Ahly.
But again, Mike, it's when you look at City Oilers, is it fair to say that really this is not the City Oilers team that we know for people who have been following basketball in Uganda, for a team that has been, you know, winning consecutively over the years, over the last 2 years, winning their local leagues. These are not the guys that are winning.
Well,
locally.
That's what I was about to say. It's a reflection, right?
Yeah.
As you highlighted, in the team right now, so far, we've only seen one Ugandan actually player for the City Oilers. A lot of the players that are on the court right now are foreign-based players. So likely, if you know the City Oilers in Kampala, you are only seeing one familiar face.
Right. There's one Oiler.
There's only one Oiler.
One true Oiler.
Which shows why it's not going in full cylinders right now. But anyway, yeah, once again, I think it goes back to that discussion. But it's also a really tricky discussion, right? Because as a team, you know that winning ball is something that will generate funds that would help a lot in terms of progression for the club, the business, everything, etc. And so a lot of teams tend to now be forced to look at international talent, because think about it, if you only have a team that's winning locally and they're going up against, for example, Al Ahly Egypt, who have players that are really garnering, that are top caliber players, or you're playing against some of these teams, for example, the Cape Town Tigers, they had Billy Preston. That's the name that I was blanking out on.
Yeah.
BP, who's playing professionally in Asia, you are now forced to lean more on those foreign-based players, which is why I guess the NBA also allowed Ball to step into that world, so that you can now lean in and compete on an international scale. But once again, at times it works, at times it does not work, because you need chemistry within your squad.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, in case you're just joining us, this is the special coverage of the Basketball Africa League. We are starting the third quarter in Cairo, Egypt. And let's go to Cairo.
Here we go. Second half time is upon us. 24-50 is the scoreline as Rembert goes around the outside looking for options. Bashir through the middle. He does it so well, doesn't get the points here, but he does draw the foul. We've already stated that it's going to be a little bit more physical. That was a good, strong drive there coming from Bashir, drawing the foul from Hamad.
Well, Coach Nisbah has gone small, so Bale starts alongside Rimbert Opong to give some shooting on the outside, and then you've got the physicality of Bashir inside the paint alongside the height, length of Maluwach.
Now, look at Fayed Bale is a very talented playmaker. Ugandan national team came through. We saw him last year for the City Oilers when he came, you know, and he started playing. He's the future, you know, star of this year, of the Silverbacks, of course. But at the same time, I think that you've got to understand that he is good. He's got a quality to him. He's fast, furious, and capable of distribution.
He certainly is. And what this is, it gives him an opportunity to try and unlock something on the offensive end. He's looking for answers right now with Coach Karim Nesbitt.
Yeah, it's Cole Pepper Sr. has been taken off, of course, just to give. This is what it's all about. A little bit more pressure. They've mixed it up a little bit. Ball up against Solo Diabate could be quite an interesting tussle. Been put into the bar. They've been hassled a little bit. Achuel goes up for a mid-range two off the side of the metal. The pressure cooker situation looking quite well for them.
A good first possession, especially on with the intensity you see. And there's a unforced error. That'll be the 14th turnover for the Oilers.
Just a little lapse in concentration, of course, but a little bit of pressing taking place on court at the moment. Ball putting pressure on Diabate, just not giving him the free-flowing moves that he wants to do. Nicely done. And a good defensive move, but it's picked up by Murphy once again. Traveling call. You saw that little... The inching feet that just moved a little bit forward there. The momentum took him over. Traveling call made. I think it was the squeak of the sneak that sort of, you know, they picked up on.
Well, that's the result of the pressure that we're seeing, and that something needed to give, and you're seeing it unfold right in front of us.
And we're seeing Achuel just limping off. He must have fallen awkwardly, which is not a good thing either. And that, of course, means that we've got Papi Jackson, of course, and also Achuel, who have limped off for Al Ahly Libya, which doesn't fare well for Coach Yaramich.
That doesn't fare well at all.
Opong drops it into the hands of Maluwach. Maluwach swings it out over to the other side. Ball for three. Big shot coming in from Ball, but it comes back out, made safe there by that man, Hamad. It's points that they need to score. Diabate goes up and doesn't get his points. Malouash. Rimbert, fast and furious. Bashir. Oh, it's a stunner from Bashir. And that's a good 3-point scenario there. 2 points, because he was just inside. Stolen. Picked up once again. Opong. This is better from the City Oilers. Looking a little bit slicker now, aren't they, Q?
A lot better in terms of ball, body language and what they're doing execution-wise. And there's the commentator's curse. The ball gets stolen right away.
I think they need to try and work with Bal to get the ball a little bit to Malouash, maybe, because it's just a little bit too predictable, isn't it? Oh, Malouash makes the block. Fantastically done. And now what an excellent run there from Hamad, picking up the straight ball.
Well, Hamad stays with it. And Malouash, presence in the paint, he does well to contest the shot. He clears out the dunk from Deng. Just gets enough contact on the ball. Important block, but the ball falls into the hands of Hamad. And Hamad gets the finish. And now there is a technical foul call.
Achuel just getting the treatment, so there's another ankle issue. There you go, the little movement there just to assess the damage, where it is and how serious it is, and which is quite concerning. Fine score there, coming in from that man, Robinson Opong. They get possession back. Achuel getting treatment.
We've seen the character of the City Oilers in previous years, and this new team has got to showcase just a little bit of that ability to fight back as Rambert shot goes away.
Diabate getting a bit more time on court, on the floor today. He won't turn his nose up at that. There is Bill Howes in the starting five. He tries to drop it over the top. It's a rather defensive game. Fantastic pass here. Oh, he's running out of space there, but Rambert gets the ball out. Opong for three. Oh, it's just rattled around. Picked up by Bashir. He goes up, tries to go in again. Excellent defensive play there from Majok Deng.
You got to love the effort, though, and the different body language for sure. The execution didn't work out. They would have willed that in.
Murphy.
Doesn't happen.
Murphy. Well, again, Deng picks the ball up. Opong coming from behind, commits the foul.
Deng is he's a menace inside the paint. He's almost everywhere. It's his length and his physicality. And you see him pick up the rebound, the hand from Opong. Clear infringement. And that goes out of bounds, and the foul call on a pump.
Picked up by Diabate. We go again. Diabate back out. Hamad into the hands of Bill Hodge. Bill Hodge looks for the pass. He stays on his pivot, but he was always going to lose the ball, wouldn't he?
He did amazing to keep the pivot, but he turns the ball over nonetheless.
Picked up by Malouash. He's going to go. He's going to try and drop it over the top. He draws some interest from Deng, who does pick up his second foul.
Achuel did a good job on Malouash in the first half. And this is a different kind of defender, is Deng. And he found himself a little bit behind the play, and Malouash did pretty well to draw the foul and get himself to the free throw line.
Currently on 6 points. Effortless from the free throw line.
7 of 9 he was when he compiled his 29 points. He's got a very soft touch, good stroke from the free throw line, especially for his size.
Attempt to try and get that. It's been picked up there by Opong, does really well. Opportunity. Bali gets the ball out there. Rambert, Bashir drops it into the hands. Malouash takes the pass. Can he get it over the shot? Yes, he can. Lovely hook over. A little defense.
Nice.
Lots of pressure going on already.
You know, nice pressure and nice patience, rather, from Malouash on that position. And he got the kind of look he wanted. And here we go. The fight back and the run really might be on.
Yeah, but this is, you know, half of their points coming in the paint for the City Oilers, which is pretty good. It just goes to show that they can actually attack and be a little bit more aggressive. But listen to this. Swing ball goes out wide. And that is going to be a big attempt to try and smash and crash that in.
Now the turnover, and The travel that gets called is a little frustrating there for Coach Yeremich. Building a run, slowly but surely. You know, they say, how do you reach an elephant, Robbie? You got to do it one bite at a time.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of game time remaining. Karim Nesbar and his teammates and the players were just, very elated. Put it in. That's the perfect way. A very swift and sharp response there coming from the big man, and he needed to dunk that.
Up to double digits, and you can see the change in body language and the biggest scoring run of the game for the Oilers now at 6.
Here's Murphy for a big long-range shot. It's been made safe by Malawash once again. There's a different change in the complex of this game. Regardless of the scoreline, let's just see where they go from this and how they can feed off it, because, you know, it's feeding time frenzy for the Oilers. Malawash trying to deal with Hamad, decides to go for his long-range shot. It's been picked up here by Bashir. Back out for Bale. Swings it back out to Opogo. Pongo's high off the glass. Doesn't happen. Malawash. Oh, it's stunning. Great rebound. Falls over Bale. Let's hope that there's no more injuries. We don't need any more of that.
No injuries. And he gets back up again. His activity rate up and around the rim has been rewarding him. He picks up a rebound and another two.
Hey, look, it's a 16-point lead. We haven't seen that for quite a while. So let's hope that they can, come back. And it's Diabate. Oh, the pass. That's stunning into Achuel. Just a deceiving little pass to the left. And the Sansanini player just smashing it down.
Well, they won't get rattled. They will execute, and they finally bring a run, a needed run from the Oilers to an end.
Yeah, I think they got the right player with Solo Diabate, who's leading the show, because he'll go. Rembert goes right through the middle, goes up and in. Oh, stunning, straight through the paint.
Confidence really does help, and you just see the difference that it makes, and it opens up avenues and pathways inside the defense. Makes it look like a different game.
Solo Diabate. Teasing, switch, chucking it right out wide. There's the opportunity for this man Mitchell to go up. Murphy, unable to get the score. Look at that, and they're going to get possession back, City Oilers. Well, that's pretty impressive, to be honest with you.
Very different look here in the second half. Needed to be, and the Oilers working their way back at the beautiful look at Malawash and his activity. 14 rebounds. And he's now up to 13 points.
Bashir Opong wanted to stay on the court. We're going to take a break.
Basketball Africa League live coverage here of the Nile Conference in Egypt, Cairo. We are at the Voice of America Studio 3 with Mike Harvey. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. City Oilers 38-54 for Libya's Al Ahly. Looks like the Oilers are picking up pace, Mike.
The oil is finally kicking in, my friend.
The oil is gone.
The oil is finally kicking in.
You mean they had some oil when they went?
They got a little something when they went on break. Man, they're trying to. It looks like they're finally turning on a couple of cylinders here and there. Yeah. Closing in on that gap that Al Ahly had built. Initially, it was over 20 something, almost 30 points. But now it's down to Al Ahly 54 points, and the City Oilers on 38 points. Our leading game scorer is still Lual Achille, 18 points to his name. Right next to him is City Oilers' Kaman Malawash. He has 13 points to his name. Kevin Murphy, 17 points to his name. He's the next big scorer of the game. Papi is chilling on the bench there, Jacko. He's chilling.
That's the point guard, PL Jackson, the point guard for the Libya Al Ahly, injured in the first quarter, I think. First quarter or second quarter?
Yeah, he picked up an injury in the first quarter of the game.
Yeah, and we saw him limping, forcing it.
But it looks like they're just like, listen,
Papi,
we don't need you.
Absolutely. No, yes, we don't need you right now. Even though you don't see much depth on their bench, but still they are able to still, you know, put pressure on Uganda City Oilers, which really needs this win if they're going to stay in Cairo. And let's go back to Cairo.
Leading the way with 13 points there.
14 big rebounds as well, trying to control the glass. And he's played a significant role in the spark and the fight back.
Well, he got a double-double yesterday. He got a double-double today already. Let's see what else he can try and expand on that. That's great work from Bali. You know, you've got to go for everything. You've got to fight and chase for everything. They're getting points, you know, and they're getting chances, aren't they?
Back within 14, and here again, I'm going to go back to that 33-point turnaround that we saw at the same hole where they almost picked up a win over Ali in the opening season, and maybe reminiscent here. Maybe some memories for the players on the floor.
You've got to fight big time. Philando Jones is probably one of the top players, if I remember correctly. Long-range shot coming from Deng doesn't happen. They pick it up. An opportunity now for the City Oilers as they quickly move in that transition state of play. Flung out to Bashir. Bashir for three. Doesn't manage to get it. Diabate does.
Searching for the connection. It just comes off the front eye and they control the rebound.
Hamad picks it up. Oh, it's a pretty odd, nice little put in there from Achuel. He's in the right place at the right time where Binks should roam.
And Achuel comes in again and continuing to just build on his great offensive display. Up to 20 points now.
Here we go with Opong. Opong just dealing with Murphy. Malawash turns, trying to pivot, trying to find his way through. There has been a foul committed by Achuel. That'll be foul number three for him. And Malawash, because he knows how to play those one-on-ones, doesn't he?
Well, he faces up nicely, and he gets into the space again of Achuel and is able to draw the foul. Again, this is now, we wouldn't have seen this 2 years ago. It's just the development of the game of Malawash into the space and kind of creates the contact. Gets the chance at the charity.
He's also getting stronger as he grows. He understands how important, you know, the upper body strength is in terms of grappling and holding onto the ball. Because, you know, when he's pivoting around like that, players, they think, I'm not going to be able to jump higher than him, you know, but I can wrestle the ball out of his hands potentially.
Well, we've seen him accumulate points, go to the Basketball Africa League. He led the scoring for the NBA Academy Africa, averaging 21 points, 15 rebounds. He was an astonishing 80% from the field. And about 60% from the free throw line. But here he goes, makes the important shot.
Haylock is 41-56. It's a 15-point lead as Murphy picks the ball up. He deals with Opong, loses possession. Bali, there's a few players coming up. Who's it going to go to? Well, Bash, it's picked up by Opong. Opong for three. Oh, it's a fine bucket indeed from down the left side there. High, dry, and in.
The fight back is well and truly on. Back within 12 points.
Such an important score that was. Diabate, Deng, they haven't scored for a few phases now as Murphy goes up, swatted away by Malawash. Get out of there!
Maybe a case for goaltending, but that's another block to Malawash.
We're not going to talk about that, it's already up. Rambert picking the ball up against Hamad. A little bit of a help from Malawash. Opong goes up for three. Oh, he just doesn't manage to get it. It's been picked up. That's nicely. It's a great rebound, that is, from that man, James Okello.
Timely timeout as the Oilers roar their way back. Look at the work again. Malawash high up top, clears out. Oh, my.
High up in the sky, doing the business. You know, all for one, one for all. They really have that ethic where they're starting to gel. You know, if there's something that that rung for me when I was talking to Gary Nesbar yesterday, it was, you know, we need to be able to gel together. This is the perfect example of how they're gelling together. They've clambered back, and they've clambered back from no man's land.
They say adversity reveals character, and we're starting to understand. Their back's against the wall, and we're starting to see the character of the City Oilers team. 20 points they've accumulated so far in this third quarter, and they've held, importantly, they're able to hold Al-Ali to just six. And that's how you build a run. It's got to come from the defensive end, and they've done that well.
It was a 27-point lead at one point, so you can understand where they've come from. Let's just take a look at some of the numbers here, Q.
14 points, 15 rebounds. Standout performance again from Malawash. But on the other side, Achuel, 20 points, 10 of 13 shooting, high efficiency. He's picked up four rebounds and ably aided by Murphy, 17 on 5 of 17 shots.
Game on.
Game on.
Diabate. Jaramich calling the timeout, Coach Jaramich. So let's see what kind of tactics they've they're going to work on. Swing the ball out. They know how to pass the ball to each other. Shot clock down to six. Murphy just inside of the arc, and he hits a monster three.
Big time shot making for Murphy. Takes him up to 20. Big three. Help kill some of this fight back momentum from Oilers.
Obong, Obong, that's nicely done. Oh, he is holding with the one hand. Bali goes out. Bali, and the attempt at 3 points. It's not fallen there for Matawash either in the rebound. And they failed to score on that occasion. Oh, that's a foiled and a poor pass there. Rembeck goes up. That's a great layup as well, with big surrounding him big time.
Well, when he's coming downhill, he uses his frame, gets Ding out the way, and he scores the two.
Yeah, he's got a wide frame, so it gives him the chance to just make sure that there's a little bit of space around him. And as you say, that's an 11-point lead. Hands out the third quarter, it's the last play. And Solo Diabate has to have the last word. He is extraordinary.
Masterful from Diabate. Absolutely amazing. Second time we've seen him take responsibility with the buzzer winding down, and he gets another score.
48 points to 61. We're just going to... I think the officials are just checking for the clock. But in any case, 13-point lead. They're back, but Alali Libya still staying ahead.
Basketball Africa League special coverage on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. We're watching Alali Libya playing against Uganda's City Oilers. The Oilers have reduced that deficit from around 25
points. They're awake now.
To 25 points, as Mike says, they're awake. What awakened the sleeping lion, Mike?
They're awake now. The problem is, or the question is them waking up now enough to help them win the game? Are they waking up a little late?
They still do have time, Mike. Also,
13 points.
But as much as they're awake, Libya is not sleeping either.
That is very true. Hence why I said the good part is the City Oilers are closing in on that gap. As I mentioned early on, we're talking about a 30-point gap. Now it's down to 13 points. It's very possible if they continue functioning the way that they're functioning that they could close that gap. And who knows, Jaco, at this point, we're still only in the third quarter. We're about to enter the fourth quarter, the final quarter of the game. Can they turn it around? We wait to see that.
Libya is short of their point guard, PL Jackson, Papi Jackson, who
we
got
might
injured.
Might even see him come back.
He maybe not. But either way, I don't think they really need him at this point. With the way things have turned out for them, it looks like they've been able to hold the fort by themselves. Hopefully that, Papi Jackson, he did not have a career-ending injury. Mm-hmm. We saw him come back in the beginning. In a few minutes into his injury, he was able to kind of limp back into on the court and actually started, dishing out some of those nice passes before the end of the second quarter, in which they were able to expand their lead to almost 25 points. And now we are back to Cairo with Uganda 48, Libya 61. Let's go back to Cairo.
Diabate into the paint, tries to drop one over the top. He does it again. That is just masterful. Diabate is up to double figures, and he's the third player. We've got two 20s with Achuel Murphy. Now Diabate with 10.
Why, he's so, so skillful solo, and he's been great in the NOW conference.
Now, Achuel is up to, I think it's his, is that his third foul?
Yes, it is his third foul.
And it is Opong who will go straight up and try and get those points. Everything's vital now because they've showed great character and great fight to put themselves back in the picture against Alali Libya. Now, they need to make sure that that wasn't just, wasteful time. It is actually part of a constructive comeback, which would be great for Karen Nesba and for all the neutrals.
They went with a different lineup out of halftime, and the lineup paid off. They just played with a little bit more intensity and understanding, making the extra pass. And first substitution we've seen is Bale heads off, and Tuleba will come in, try and fill the same role, give the same kind of impact, and try and give some value in the matchups.
Scoring goes well for that man, Opong.
8 points for Opong.
Putting pressure on Kevin Murphy here. Murphy, one of the standout players. Here he is in that. He hasn't scored many points in that position because they're just closing him down, clamping him down. Rembert goes on a run. Can he go high? Oh, he uses the body beautifully. The bench of the City Oilers are going absolutely ballistic. But more importantly, there's a foul.
They wave off the bucket because this time, just a little bit too much contact when he clears out and creates space. You see the outstretched arm. It doesn't allow Deng to get into position to try and get the block, and that's what the referee calls immediately, and so the bucket won't count. Offensive foul to Rimbeck.
It's an illegal swan song. Diabate. 13 points. Now this is starting to get quite interesting on the floor, Q, because there's a lot of little battles taking place because everybody knows that this is a vital time for teams to actually get ahead. The foul goes against the City Oilers on this occasion.
They haven't been allowed to do what they did in the first half, which is get individual ISO looks for the big Zachuel inside the paint and just allow them to work. The game planning now is a little different, and since then, they really have struggled on the offensive end.
Deng, possession. Four personal fouls for Zou. Diabate. Misses, picked up by Rembert. Rembert coasting down into the corner, goes for three, big three. Three a little bit fiercely. Let off his fingertips and doesn't get the points. These points are vital. Every phase of play, you need to get points, especially if you're part of the City Oilers. He's under a little bit of pressure here. Achuel up against Malouash. That's beautifully done. He's done that before, Malouash, against him, so he's got a bit of revenge there.
So he freezes Malouash, makes sure that he stays stuck to the floor, and then that beautiful floated skyhook goes in for two.
Opong trying to wrestle his way. Gives the ball to Diabate. Diabate looks for support. He's not going to go home alone. He's going to get the ball out to Murphy. Murphy three. Murphy goes up. It doesn't fall. Picked up by Malouash, of course. Another defensive rebound for him.
Another rebound. They need a score here.
Rembert, and he does get a great layup score there. Finally, Rembert starting to. He's up to double figures as well now. The second player, Malouash on 14.
I think that Al Ahly will be happy seeing Rembert settle for the three, because once he gets the ball and gets inside the paint, he's a lot more deadly.
Murphy just tries to sneak into the paint and produce one of those floaters, unable to lift the ball up, and there he gets caught up by Malouash and Rembert, both players tangling up the danger man.
You've got to be aware of where he is on the floor at all times. And they'll get the ball to him because he can create from outside and in.
Diabate. Achuel just next to him. Goes down. He'll go every single time. But this time he flicks it back out. Deng, Deng, Deng for the 3 points. Malouash makes it safe. Another rebound picked up by Trelleba. Trelleba looks for Malouash. Biding their time. Bale this time. Well, that's one way of getting rid of a player. Goes up. Malouash unable to get that shot. It's been picked up by Deng. Nearly Bale getting his hands on it there, Q.
Again, Achuel is doing a great job defensively on Malouash, making him uncomfortable and making it tough for him to get the kind of rhythm he needs on the offensive end.
You know, the moment that the City Oilers go under 10, they'll feel a lot more confident, but it's still at 13. They're holding them at arm's reach. As Zou goes up, he scored a three-pointer before. He cuts into the arc, goes up for the two. Short, Malouash, tall.
18th rebound.
Bale, Trelleba, not afraid to take long-range shots. Opong's the same scenario. Tries to get rid of that man, Diabate. Tries to float it over the top. It's been flicked up, and I think there's contact on Malouash as he just went for that.
Well, it's definitely a contact call inside the paint, Malouash. Looking. It's going to be side ball because there was no attempt on it, and that's going to be the second team foul.
And it's Zou, I think, who's got his fifth foul, so I think it's he's going to have to make way. If I'm correct, there,
absolutely
Kim.
Correct.
Yeah, there we go. Five personals for Zoo. Bali. Opong, Opong teasing. Shot clock down to three. Need to get the shot in. Bashir for three. And the rebound comfortably taken there by the big man Deng at the back.
Well, he did well to get the shot off in time and find a good look. It just doesn't quite fall and they secure the defensive glass.
A little bit of a lull in activity in scoring at the moment just because both teams are neutralizing each other. It doesn't mean that we're not getting excited about what's happening here because the tussle, you know, is of the highest level. Karim Nesmith. Well, he's on his feet. He must be so proud of the fight back, but he would like to see them just step a little bit further into that, you know, into that territory where they actually feel as though they can reel back in the Libyan Giants.
But we've kept the same kind of tempo throughout the game. 24 points for City Oilers in that third quarter. If they can just have a similar kind of quarter, we'll have a very close game.
Oh, that's lovely. Like, a beautiful touch there from Daman Achouil. Just off the fingertips and just goes high enough to drop back in. Sensational.
11 of 14. He's just been on fire.
24 points for Achouil. Rambert, this time he's just a little bit unlucky. But well, the rebound for Bashir tries to go up again. And there is a foul, I think.
Securing a third chance opportunity. And that's why he's in there. Tenacity. He was sticking with it. And he gets a chance to go back to the charity stripe. Important free throws in the context of the game.
And that's our third team foul for Al Ahly Libya. With Ivan Jeremic watching on. He must be kind of calm but kind of nervous at the same time. It's that strange land, isn't it? It's that strange place.
As long as they continue to execute on the offensive end, they will be able to hold on. But, you know, this is where the defense has got to come through on the City Oilers side. Bashir will lean on his experience, played in the FIBA Europe Cup in 2019 and 23. Spent some time Kosovo, Croatia, the Adriatic League, Hungary and Bosnia.
Yeah, and his experience playing in Eastern Europe caught the eye of his coach Ivan Jeremic, who he's followed here to Al Ahly Libya. In fact, there's a lot of connections here. Coaches like to pick players and try and bring them into campaigns from wherever they are in the world. Murphy goes up. It's a lovely score, isn't it? Just, he's got such a graceful touch.
It's been a two-prong attack. If Murphy doesn't get it, then Achouil doesn't. If Achouil doesn't get it, Murphy does.
Rembert. Malouash. Malouash steps inside, leaning into his player, the big man. And is that Achouil who picks up his fourth? I think it is.
Gresham with the ball. He's not shying away from the ISO opportunity, and he does draw that fourth foul from Achouil. Another look with that trusted left hand, is able to draw the contact. And more importantly, lets Achouil know that that's the fourth foul he picked up.
And the officials just explaining everything. We've got a little timeout. There we've got the four personal fouls there for Achouil. And they're kind of locked in deadlock in the doldrums of the Cairo court for the moment. You can see that there's still a 15-point advantage, but this is not done yet. We'll take a break and we'll be back for the final run-in of this fourth quarter battle.
Voice of America special coverage of the Basketball Africa League here in Studio 3. I'm Jackson Vunganyi with Mike Hobe. You got a City Oilers battling it out with Al Ahly of Libya. Currently down 54-69. Libya leading 69 points to 54. So such a low-scoring matchup today, Mike.
Yeah. Well, it looks like the Libyans are running out of steam, man. When they started off, they were looking hot.
Right.
They were looking like they were ready.
Definitely
to push
a different team. We're
right
seeing
now. We're seeing
Saturday.
A completely different team.
Yeah.
They're running out of steam, but the City Oilers are slowly picking it up. They're battling it out, trying to see if they could close in on that gap. Right now, we're looking at about 15 points. point gap. It's still a big margin. Mm. But with about 4 or 5 minutes left on the clock, it's still possible for them to Absolutely. Fight and close that gap. So
at
that's
some
where
point,
we're at.
They were down by 25 points
yes,
at the half. They have narrowed that down to 15 points. They had narrowed it down to up to like 13 points, which is the closest they had come. But it does not seem that they will be able to make up.
It doesn't
only
look like
4 minutes left in this game. I am afraid to say that the City Oilers might be using some of leftover oil to fly back to Kampala.
You're funny, Jago.
Absolutely. Anyway, so Libya does not seem to have suffered from the loss of their star player, Pierre Papi Jackson, who had an injury earlier on in the game, limped back, but you know he's now finally out. Speaks to the fact that they probably have other people on the bench who are able to come in and fill that gap, because it doesn't seem that they really missed him that much. 56 to 69. That's 56 for Uganda City Oilers. Libya 69. And let's go to Cairo. Let's go back to Cairo for this last 5 minutes of the game.
Diabate getting into the hands of Murphy. Murphy tries to wander into the paint. A wild pass as he tries to find Achuel goes out of bounds. And this is the kind of play that will work in the Oilers' favour.
This is an important possession. A score here just gets it. It makes it a little bit nervy. Takes it within 10 or 11 points.
Back out to Rumba. Who's going to go there? Anybody there? He goes up himself. Yeah, unable to get anything. And there's two players left behind at the back of the court as Diabate takes it back up. Down into the corner. Hamad picks it up. Achuel to Hamad. Hamad, oh, stay out of there. What an incredible block that was from Malawash. But, sorry, can you carry on?
I was going to say, that's going to count as his seventh block already in this one. That is phenomenal.
He's already on double-double, but this is just outrageous.
And if that is the case, then sets a new record in VAR games for blocks from an individual. Anas Mahmoud, previous holder of the record, he picked up 6 blocks, and Malawash going for 7.
And, you know, we're not talking about anybody. The Alali, that is nearly a monster bucket from downtown from Obong, but... just stays out. So unlucky. 56-69.
Nervy moments. Important that experience shines through. Diabate at the free throw line.
Favorable situation now with the team with the 5 team fouls for the City Oilers for Alali. This is where they can literally, you know, start to sort of, you know, sink their teeth into this lead and just, you know, use the clock, because that's where we are at the moment. 3:37 left to play.
That's absolutely where we are. And those two important makes, they've been great from the free throw line. That's now 8 of 9 at the charity stripe.
Bashir drives into the paint. Little bit of a slide to get out of there. Achuel says, no, you're not coming through, man.
He has been sublime today. He has risen to the occasion on both ends of the floor for Alali Libya.
Oh, it's a fantastic performance. And, of course, the South Sudan team has not been completely picked by Luol Deng ahead of the Olympics. He's going to be putting himself, his hat in the ring, of course, with this performances like this.
That is going to be a prized place. And another look at the contact that Diabate just trying to create this space, and there is clear contact on that.
And it's a 5th foul for Malawash, I think.
And it might just be the end of the evening. That is his 5th.
And that's frustrating for him. There's the confirmation coming through. Malawash will be playing no further part the timeout being called. Very frustrating. I mean, you know, frustrating. He's still put in a pretty good... In fact, he's getting... His standout performance was yesterday. His opening game wasn't great, but he found, like, fits and bursts as soon as he got the confidence. This one has been hot and cold. Quite cold at the start, went hot, you know.
But it's his presence inside. The fact that he picked up 19 rebounds, he allows him to secure the defensive glass.
That's ridiculous.
So 16 points, 19 rebounds, the 7 blocks that he's got credited with.
So, in fact, that's just an incredible, like, sort of, you know, his stats are fantastic, in fact.
All-around performance, crazy from... Malawash, let's have a look. 16 points and 19 boards, 5 of 13 shooting. Atchuel is doing a good job of making it hard for him inside the paint. But if you're looking at a tail of the tape battle, it's Atchuel, 24 points rather, and 12 of 15 shots. He's been so good, so composed alongside Murphy. Then they've been able to just ensure enough breathing room, enough distance is maintained for Al Ahly to just continue to hold on to this one.
I think just missing a couple of players who needed to step it up a little bit just to sort of, you know, make sure that there were more than just, you know, it's not just a two-team play, if you like, you know, with Malawash and Rembert, you know, coming and shining in fits and bursts. You need a couple more players just to stand up and really sort of, you know, come on strong. And, you know, Bashir, for example, is great possibility.
9.7 assists, the efficiency from the field, a 2 of 10.
I'm being too hard, aren't I?
Tough day at the office.
Yeah, it is a tough day at the office. Being a bit hard. Here is Diabate going straight to the free throw line. He, of course, on 12. He's the third highest scorer for Al Ahly. But his presence, I mean, you know, you don't look at the points of what Diabate did. It's the turnovers, you know, the stealing the ball, everything. Just what he's done, he's just been extraordinary.
He had so much presence on the defense. He had 4 total steals in this one, but also just ball distribution and scoring.
Yeah, you've got to be aware. I didn't see it. It was a good call as well from Bashir.
It was the right read. Just the player, Rambir, was not looking, and that ball goes out for the 18th turn.
2:50 left to play. Diabate gets the ball to Atchuel. He's been hugged and taken away by Bashir before he could even get his hands properly on it.
But not taking any chances with what we've seen. 10 assists. I was talking about the versatility in his game, what he brings on the defensive end, but just has been, I feel, just locked in from the start of this conference. He's just been sublime off the bench for Al Ahly.
He just gets better and better, doesn't he? I mean, you know, he's there's no holding back for Solo Diabate. Whenever he gets the chance, he'll come on, and you know that he'll just fit in perfectly because, you know, I think that you've got players who try too hard, you know, when they join new teams. Solo Diabate, he's a journeyman, you know, from the Côte d'Ivoire, who fits into every system that every team, you know, because he's just so experienced. He knows the BAL better than anybody else.
Yeah, he's a proven winner in the Basketball Africa League on really good, strong rosters and continues to provide value wherever he goes. I think this season was the first one when he was with Zamalek. I mean, with U.S. Monastir.
Rembert at the back of the court, takes it forward. Tries to make a little bit of space. His shot is not good. Bashir tries to get the rebound. The rebound is good for Bashir. Deng back into the hands of Diabate.
They'll try and take as much time off the clock and go deep into the shot clock. Or should go deep into the shot clock almost on every possession here.
Yeah, it's a 15-point lead. So they're just using the clock, biding their time. You know, it's up to the City Oilers to put a lot of pressure, you know, maybe press them big time. Like that.
Force a turnover. Still outside chance. Wanna make a quick couple of scores and it becomes interesting again.
Rembert into the last 2 minutes we go here in Cairo. In the Egyptian capital, the banks of the River Nile. Whoa, you will not go anywhere near my ground. That's my manner. The attempt to go up by Diabate and a good follow-up. score there coming from that man, Hamad. Timeout called with 1:37 left to play. Look at Diabate around the outside. It's okay. I'm there to support you.
Wow. What a fantastic game it's been for Solo Diabate. 58-73. And game management has had to be applied at the highest level here by Coach Jeremic, especially with some of the injuries and adversity that the bench has faced throughout. But they've done a good job of just ensuring and maintaining the lead, and this will set them up well for the final. 1:37. Game is not done. They still need to make sure that they maximize possessions here and ensure that there is no line of sight or opportunity for the Oilers to mount a comeback late in the game.
There's a little shout out to all of the teams that are watching, of course, you know, from the Sahara Conference, who are going to be in action when we head off to Senegal just in over a week's time. But also the teams who took part, you know, down in Pretoria, down in the Kalahari Conference, and we've got the Cape Town Tigers, all of the players watching and trying to understand exactly what's happening here, because they still got a chance to qualify, being the third best team down in Pretoria. So, you know, just a shout out to all of the basketball players and all of the fans around the world. Mikey Q, they're everywhere.
They are everywhere. This is the premier basketball league on the continent, the Basketball Africa League.
Well, Rumba just being told he can't go further than that. Picked up by Diabate, 1:25. And time running out now is a 17-point lead. Looks like it's just slowed down a little bit. The Oilers unable to just get themselves back into that position. I think if it had gone below 10, it would have been different. But Diabate is just... I mean, he is just ripping it up tonight. He really is.
Dancing Diabate scores another one.
Vale swings it out. Zopong, a wonderful score for Robinson Zopong, and a big three. And up to 61. As Achuel goes to the bench, standout performance, 25 points for him.
He was sublime, Achuel. And in combination with Diabate and Murphy, they just strung together. Great individual performance on a good day for the team.
Well, two turnovers picked up here by Hamad. Diabate, safe hands at the back for the Ivorian. Well, bides his time. Beautiful pass out wide. If this goes in, it is quality. Well, it does finally, because Sofyan Hamad is there to tidy it up in the paint.
But Diabate picks up a foul. He's a tad bit frustrated on the call, especially with the amount of time left. It's going to be his second. It's going to be the fifth team foul.
Straight up to the free throw line. Rumba makes no. Doesn't waste any time. Rumba into double figures. Four players in double figures for the City Oilers of Uganda.
There's something that Coach Nesba can take, is maybe the performances of Opong in the second half, starting to find his confidence and his feet, something that you can build on, understanding how to utilize Rembert, but also the combination that he utilized in the second half might be get another look in the next time they take to the floor.
So Karim Nesba, if they do, look, there's 20 seconds remaining, so they, you know, they're not going to claw their way back. They might score a couple of important points at the very end. Is that man Rembert gets a second chance, picks it up, goes on the drive, and draws a little bit of attention. So he'll go to the free throw line logically and try and get some more points. The points are important, you know, for any team battling it out.
Always. Goal differential comes into that best place third conversation, and also, depending on record, can be the difference between second and third, or first and second.
And the City Oilers, so they'll have played all three teams, you know, just like Al Ahly Libya. And that basically means that we've actually got, you know, they can start to prepare how they're going to work and play against the teams they've already played, which gives them just a little bit of, you know, background. As we see the 65-point tally for the City Oilers. And the last 10 seconds, last play, an opportunity. Bilhaj gets the ball out, flung out, picked up. It's straight down into the hands of Rembeck. Cuts inside, nicely done, and gets 2 points and draws the foul as well. With just
point
one
of a second, they should have just let him go. Just let him score, close out the game. At this point, and that slightest of touches on the arm of Rembe, he's still able to power through and gets two on the finger roll.
67 and possibly 68. There we go. And that should be it. 68 points to 79. The final buzzer can be heard. Karim Nesbar with a big hug for Ivan Jeremic. Look, you see flashes of what they're capable of doing. There's three more games for them to play. It's not a done deal for the City Oilers. They've just got to keep on working, keep on preparing, and see what happens after the rest day. For Al Ahly Libya, that's two wins out of three. And to be honest with you, they're looking pretty strong, Q. They're looking a well-oiled team with a backbone, quality players, even players who get injured who can't participate, and they still provide us with some wonderful basketball.
The most important thing is always picking up the win. Wins are vital, especially if you have ambitions of booking a ticket to Kigali. So that's two out of three for Al Ahly, but I have a feeling that the second round is going to be very interesting, especially this encounter based on what we saw in the second half.
Yeah, I think so too. And coming up, we got Bangui of the Central African Republic playing against Al Ahly of Cairo. Big battle taking place, Al Ahly. They've won their two first encounters, so they're looking to make it three out of three as they charge forward in this Nile Conference, the defending champions. But before we go there, I think we can see that this is an important time to take a look at the game stats before we catch up with Solo Diabate. But yeah, this is just impressive, isn't it? So Achuil with 25, 12 from 15 field goals, and then the 22 and the 15. Diabate looking really strong there.
Yeah, Diabate is 15, 9 and 10. He's almost got a triple-double in this one. And he had a fantastic game indeed. 25 2 of 15 for Achuel, who literally was the spearhead inside the paint, and Rimbert 17 and 16 alongside Malouache.
Let's catch up with Solo Diabate in French.
Solo Diabate, félicitations pour cette victoire.
Congratulations for the win.
Vous avez mené quasi tout le match.
Basketball Africa League special coverage here on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. We are in studio here, but we are bringing you live coverage from Cairo, the Nile Conference, which is, I think today is the end of most of the teams have already played their first and second games.
That is correct.
And, you know, they'll be concluding, you know, four teams facing different scenarios as the rest to the playoffs in May continues. Basically, the first round ends today. This is the first game we watched between Libya and Uganda. Libya trouncing Ugandan City Oilers. That's Al Ahly Libya trouncing Uganda City Oilers by 11 points. Mm-hmm. Mike, it's, you know, no doubt, just given how well the Libyans played against Al Ahly Egypt on Saturday, that they were able to put up such a performance against Uganda, which came into this game two down, losing their first two games, now losing their third game. Again, they're not fully out yet. I think they have one more game before.
Right.
But how did Libya do today?
Yeah, so the final score here that we have, Al Ahly Libya 79 points, City Oilers 68 points. This is Al Ahly Libya's second victory so far. They've played three games. They played Bangui, they played City Oilers, and of course they played Al Ahly Egypt. They won against Bangui. They've now won against City Oilers, but they lost to their North African counterparts, the hosts of the Nile Conference, Al Ahly Egypt. Today's points, we have Lual Asil. He has 25 points to his name, but he did have four fouls, personal fouls in the last quarter. Kevin McKee Murphy, 22 points. And of course, Diabate had 15 points. Jacko, what this is also showing me, though, is that they're still heavily reliant on only a handful of players.
Absolutely.
They don't have the depth that we were talking about over the weekend that is needed for you to go the long haul. So if they are, well, it looks like they are, you know, strongly headed to Kigali.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see how it's going to be, because out there they're going to be playing against the big dogs. There's no small boys out in that, in those waters.
Absolutely. And you know, if you don't have the team chemistry that needs you need to be able to play on that level, then it's very likely you know they won't do as great as they did in the Nile Conference.
Right.
You know, when you're playing against teams like El Ahly Egypt, mm-hmm. which has guys that have been playing this their third or four, this their fourth appearance consecutive, and you know, it's going to be tough for them. They have so far today they lost Pierre Jackson to an injury.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know whether he's going to be able to make it back. How bad that injury is. He's a player that their point guard. He's a player that they've been reliant on as you know very much. A team that doesn't have quite the chemistry that is needed to play against the big boys.
Leading into the next couple of games, later on today, we're going to see Egypt's Al Ahly Sporting Club taking on Bangui, Central Africa Republic's Bangui Sporting Club. And then the interesting next fixture as we wrap up, because the Nile Conference wraps up this week, as we lead into that follow-up, we're going to see a rematch between Al Ahly Libya Sporting Club and Bangui on April 24th. Now, in their first tip-off where they met, this is when there were both debutants in this game. They played each other on April 19th. That's where we saw Al Ahly Libya winning their first encounter 93-71 on a Bangui Sporting Club. And then, of course, we're going to see the City Oilers take on Al Ahly Egypt in their next encounter. Jacko, what do you say? What do you think?
Listen, just looking at this game today, I remember when it came in, you're like, nah, this, I think you also called it, this is not going to make it to 80 points, and it did not make it to 80 points.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams showed strong defensive efforts in the beginning, denying the easy buckets. Uganda, I think, took the early lead with their fast-paced offense, led by their star point guard, driving to the basket and dishing out assists to their sharpshooters.
Mm-hmm.
But a few minutes in, many of those sharpshooters were just bricking or just entirely missing.
What I can say is I did notice. Now you can see the difference between when Papi's on the feet, on the court, and when he's not.
Yes.
Because you saw how that momentum slowed down dramatically.
Absolutely.
And the City Oilers started picking up.
Absolutely. And the second quarter, we saw a back-and-forth battle as both teams traded baskets.
Mm-hmm.
Uganda was way down by almost 25 points.
Close it down to 10.
Dave Herbert closed it down to 10 points. I think the final margin was, 11 points?
Yeah.
But it's you know, when you're playing a team of this nature, you want to keep, you know, the momentum up.
You got to keep it going.
You got to keep it going. They were lucky, you know, again, for the Ugandan side, that the star point guard for Libya, you know, got injured. But, so they could have easily capitalized on that. But on that deficit, but they did not. They could not. You could see a lot of struggling. Many of these guys, you can tell, have not played together for a long time, honestly.
So now this leaves the City Oilers hoping to get one more victory in their final game, of course, and then they keep those hopes alive of a qualifying on a third best spot. Now, speaking of third best spots, of course, Jacko, we had the Kalahari Conference. That was the first conference of the tournament. South Africa's Cape Town Tigers, the host of the Kalahari Conference, they are also among the list of teams that are hoping to qualify on their third best place spot.
Right.
They were able to beat Petro de Luanda and then they lost the rest
A much needed win.
Needed. They were close to making it, to receiving a guaranteed spot
Absolutely. It would have been quite embarrassing for you two guys to host your first BAL
and get blown out all games.
But I feel by beating, you know, Petro de Luanda, which is a really very, a very strong franchise. That maybe if they make it to Kigali, right now we're not sure whether they will make it. It's kind of
right.
a toss-up.
It's a toss-up.
Yeah.
Right.
If they do make it, maybe they will switch things around. You know, they did struggle in the Kahari Conference. Many of these teams, you know, need to capitalize on home court advantage.
Of course.
You know, El Ahly, I'm right now, El Ahly is leading, you know, in this Nile Conference. And part of it, aside from them being a very strong team, I feel like when you're playing at home, you have that
you
advantage.
You need that sixth man on the
absolutely,
court.
Absolutely, which is your fan base. Mm-hmm. And as we can see from here, there was, you know, the arena today in Cairo was kind of, you know, at 10%, 20%.
Right.
It was relatively empty, maybe because none of the local teams were playing, which is something that Basketball Africa League needs to really work on, getting more bodies into, you know, into those benches.
Mm-hmm.
We do have an interview
with Lebesa Selepe. So speaking of the Cape Town Tigers and of course their aspirations towards making sure that they make it towards Kigali, our intern Omolemo Kale got to speak to Lebesa Selepe. He is I guess we'll call him a bar veteran. He's played, this is his second consecutive Basketball Africa League performance as he plays for the Cape Town Tigers. So let's hear that conversation between Lebesa Selepe and of course Omolemo Kale.
Wow. Okay, so I'm Lebesa Selepe. I'm from Soweto, born and raised. What I currently do, I play professional basketball for a team called Cape Town Tigers. We participate in the Basketball Africa League. And as well as in South Africa, we play in the Basketball National League. And the bridge between the Basketball National League and the Basketball Africa League is a tournament called Road to BAL. And that's where we spend most of our time, either preparing for the National League or preparing for the Africa League.
How did you get into the BAL? Was it through maybe high school, college, maybe an academy or something of that nature? How did you get in?
So, I mean, I've always played basketball since high school, right? And it wasn't something that I'm going to do as a profession because in South Africa, there wasn't that avenue of professional basketball until Cape Town Tigers came along. So, I mean, I went through high school, played basketball there, went to university, played basketball in varsity, and I qualified as a cost and management accountant. That's the degree that I got. And I worked as an accountant for 6 years. And when Cape Town Tigers started, I was going through turmoil in my professional career. I was on the verge of getting fired. And fortunately, Cape Town Tigers came knocking at my door and asked if I would be willing to help them out, which I was. I mean, I grasped that opportunity with both hands, and here we are. You know, it's not like in America where you have to go through a draft, and, you know, it worked out quite differently for me. It was just a phone call, basically, and an offer to just participate and help them qualify for the BAL. This was in 2021, going into the 22 season. So, I mean, I grasped that opportunity with both hands because basketball is something that I always did. The opportunity to do it professionally was something that I would not bypass because fortunately for me, I was 30 years old at the time and I could still play. So here we are.
The way you got picked up was more almost like you almost got like recruited, yes? Or,
yes.
Or did you maybe like try out in a combine and then your name was just in their files and then they looked for you and then they just went to you and called you up? Or was it just like it was as random as it seemed?
I mean, it was exactly like that. I didn't go to no combine. I got called up to a practice session that they were having in Pretoria, preparing for the road to BAL. So I went to the practice session. I had a very good session. And fortunately for me, the market of basketball in South Africa is very small. So people are going to know who you are. And at that time, I was a competitor. I was an opponent of Cape Town Tigers. So I think my name was on their radar. They knew that to bulk up the squad, they'd need a few more senior players. And the senior players that they had at the time were guys that I played with in the national team. Peter Prinsloo, Letlhogonolo Tolo, Chris Gabriel, you know, was with the team at the time. So it was easy for me to adjust and to play for Cape Town Tigers. And I mean, speaking of BP, he's been there since I started. You know, he may have left the team, but he's been there since I started. He's a phenomenal player, very skilled. It's unfortunate that he's not in the NBA because that's what his skill set is. You know, he really is that good. I hope he can somehow get back into the league because a guy with that skill set at that height. I saw on Instagram the other day, somebody said that he's a 6'10" guard. Because that's what he is, you know. He dribbles just like guards. He's got the size of a big. He shoots from outside. I love playing with him. I love watching him grow. I love who he is as a player.
Puma came up with a hashtag, right? Mm-hmm. This hashtag, not just in BAL, but in multiple almost in all of their sporting partnerships that they branch out to. Please remind me what the hashtag is and if there is any significance in what that hashtag even means.
So shout out to Puma, man. You know, Puma has been in my side of the court for a very long time. I started wearing Pumas 3 seasons ago. The deal just became pen to paper. It used to be just merchandise, comfort, lifestyle wear. It's been a nice journey with them, and I really pray to God and hope that we can carry on for the longest time, because I'm comfortable with the brand. I associate with the brand, and I mean the hashtag is Forever Foster, right? And it's just exactly that. It's trying to remain relevant and Foster through every sporting code that you do, Foster on the court, Foster on the track, Foster for the soccer players, you know, Foster for the golfers. It's brilliant, right? There's a campaign, which is a global campaign, which every Puma athlete on the globe jumped on. You know, I'm talking from Neymar, Harry Maguire, Jack Grealish, myself. We all jumped on the global campaign when we had those Puma eyes, and it's basically seeing the game the way a Puma athlete sees the game, which is exactly that, Forever Foster.
Were you the first, or maybe one of the first athletes in the BAL to be sponsored officially by Puma or something of that nature?
Well, I think on this continent, Nkosinathi Sibanyoni and I are the first ever endorsed athletes by any brand. You know, Puma. What Puma has done is very brave, because endorsement deals are not something that it's very new on this continent. You know, it's things that we see in Europe, South America, America. So for them to just throw in the fish and, you know, bait Natty and I and we hook and, you know, we're running together. It's just great. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I can't wait to see what the future years have in store for Natty and I. Maybe a signature shoe. Maybe, you know, you just never know. And I'm excited. I'm happy.
So that was part of the conversation between Lebisa Selepa Jackson, Cape Town Tigers player. We're still going to hear part two of that conversation. Mm-hmm. But I thought let us come back and banter a little bit about that. Early on, we're talking about how BAL is giving an avenue towards African players, right? We hear Lebisa Selepa talking more about his personal story and how he basically was on the brink of being fired.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, basketball is actually an option for him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, Basketball Africa League providing that avenue for young players like himself. I think you're forgetting to mention that there's a history there for you too with that.
Right.
I don't know why you're not.
Well, my history with Lebisa is, of course, the fact that at some point throughout our high school careers, we did cross paths and we played against each other. I also went to high school with Dylan Whipred, who plays for the Cape Town Tigers, another player there. So again,
Mike Harvey might have been right now in the Basketball Africa League,
brother,
if your journalistic career had not taken off. Now you're behind the microphone instead of shooting the ball. And actually, you did play rugby,
right?
Too. So maybe you that was my passion. Basketball,
that was my hope.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, you know, Basketball Africa League providing that platform for these young players who many times we have seen, you know, very talented. Mm-hmm. They do well in elementary, high school, and in college, and they play in the local league, but they have nowhere to go after that.
Right.
Kind of they peak out and they're done. There's no, there are no places for them to go after they mm-hmm. play their local leagues. And, you know, Basketball Africa Leagues hopefully will be that pipeline, that conduit to bigger leagues and bigger tournaments.
Yep.
And ultimately in itself be a standalone league that is able to catalyze young talent on the continent and provide them not just the ability to play mm-hmm. and, you know, expand on their talent, but also bring in some younger players from around the continent who would have seen, you know, basketball something that's far, you know, from, you know, with
on
outside
TV.
Of their reach.
Right.
But now they are able to play with people who played in the NBA, mm-hmm. you know, guys mm-hmm. like P.L. Mm-hmm. Jackson and others who played the NBA, and they're kind of right now currently playing against local players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, imagine you as a young person growing up watching these guys play on TV.
Now you're right
there. And now you're right there with them, competing against them. I think that really does a lot to, you know, your confidence
mentally. Mm-hmm.
mentally, but also just the opportunity and what it means, the endorsement deals that come with that, like Celebi was saying, you know, Nike, Puma, and many mm-hmm. others coming in and, you know, providing, you know, some incentives, some resources to facilitate their, you know, their growth. Because at the end of the day, we want these young players to take something out of the league, mm-hmm. You know, financially, to be able to help their communities. You know, many of them are people who come from these very communal settings. They always give back to their community one or another, whether it's building schools, helping their families. So the league, I think, and that's the thing that needs to be really capitalized on, is it's more than just the game of basketball.
It's an entire ecosystem within its own right.
Absolutely.
And I love the fact that Larissa Salipa pointed out the endorsement conversation behind it, because this now opens up opportunities for other young people. For example, he's from Soweto.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Soweto is now turning into a middle class environment.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing Larissa Salipa being able to break out in basketball, not soccer, not rugby, not tennis, not golf, not netball, in basketball, is also giving other kids the option to think, hey, I can expand beyond.
I can do this.
I don't just have to strive to play for an Orlando Pirates in soccer or to play for the Springboks. I can now push to be part of the Basketball Africa League. And so I'm really loving that point, which really exposes young Africans to the fact that you now have more options.
Right. You know, the thing again, my going back to South Africa again, applies to the person who you grew up in. In South Africa, many mm-hmm. of the you know, basketball is not a sport that it ranks up there in terms of, you know,
definitely
popularity.
Not in Soweto.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. So and partly it has to do with the you know, the resources to build the facilities.
Right.
You know, basketball is unlike soccer where you can just go in any muddy field
it's
and
that,
just
right,
play.
Right.
You need some sort of facility to mm-hmm. play basketball, you know, where there's a field and you have rings and stuff. Like some of the things we take for granted here in these developed countries, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? These are not things that exist in a place like Soweto.
Yeah.
But to see that, you know, Basketball Africa League coming in and, you know, giving kind of a push to the local leagues and the local teams, injecting some sort of resources into them to mm-hmm. kind of develop the game, that's quite important.
And you know, the good part about that is usually that's the formula, right? Is that the private sector boosts something, government sees that there's something, and government now starts to capitalize
right,
on
right,
it.
Right. Or the other way around.
Or the other way around. Right. And so to see this, I think I can only imagine is going to be something that now inspires more African governments towards taking basketball a little more seriously.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of Lebesa Selepa, of course, once again, I mentioned that we're also going to hear the part two conversation. In this second part of the conversation that he has with Omole Mokale, we hear Lebesa Selepa talk more about Cape Town Tigers' opportunities as they strive towards making sure that this year they're part of the teams that make it to Kigali. So let's hear that conversation.
Cape Town Tigers, for us now, with a waiting game. Because we didn't do so well in our conference, we're just waiting for the other conferences to end, and we're going to wait and see who the other number threes are in the other groups. And two of those number threes will make it into the playoffs, which will be happening in Kigali the last week of May. But, I mean, in terms of recruits, there is a lot of window for us. We allowed 5 import players. We only had 3. So I would imagine that the front office are going to make some moves. I don't know if Billy Preston will be returning because he's currently playing in Bahrain, which is in Asia. So that would be interesting to see if he'll be returning from his season in Bahrain, or we'll be getting 3 new guys. Dikati, Diara, and Noor Manyang are still in the country. They're still training with us. So, I mean, I can imagine that they're not going anywhere. But in terms of pieces being moved around, we've got Storm Gilchrist, who picked up an injury. Whether he can return in time or not, one can only imagine what's going to happen with young Storm, because he also has a lot of basketball ahead of him. He's only 18 years old, so you don't want to play him through injuries this early in his career. I'm not privy to what is discussed by front office. I mean, we meet our teammates just like everybody else on Instagram and when they come to practice. So if I had an inside scoop, I probably would somehow hint. But currently, we're just preparing with what we have.
As far as you see BAL, like, how do you see BAL, like, in the near future, maybe in the next 2 years?
Outside of the NBA, I think the BAL is the most viewed league in the world. And well done to the BAL for getting it there in season 4. Shout out to the NBA, shout out to NBA Africa, shout out to FIBA, because a combination and collaboration of this magnitude has not been done before. You know, people that came to Pretoria to watch the Kalahari Conference, it's the first time the BAL ever came to South Africa. And for 3-4 nights, it was sold out, you know, and that just shows the love for the game that we have in South Africa and on this continent. I mean, the energy, the production, it almost feels like an NBA game. People have watched basketball, said that they've never seen anything like the BAL, because it really is just that big. What I foresee more teams. I foresee teams getting licensed. I foresee an NBA-type model, maybe with a leeway for teams that are going to be coming through qualifiers to join the teams that are already licensed. I mean, the sky literally is the limit. There's 53 countries in Africa, you know, for only 12 teams to be represented. It's baby steps. Yes, I get it, but there's so much room to grow. You know, we can see a 53 team league one day. You know, which will be probably the biggest league in the world. You know, with companies like Air Rwanda jumping on, making it possible for the traveling arrangements to be done with ease for brand play. You know, I mean, the league is sponsored by Jordan and Nike. But, you know, when Puma starts jumping in and endorsing athletes, it's only a matter of time before other brands, which I don't want to mention, start coming into play. And it becomes a market where players are getting marqueed and endorsed left, right and center. And that's revenue for players. That's revenue for teams. That's revenue for brands. That's corporate Africa. I don't want to say corporate South Africa, because that's small thinking. You know, it's corporate Africa jumping in and starting to join your Visit Rwandas, join your Air Rwandas, you know, join all these new fortress companies that have been pumping money into the BAL. And, you know, the more the merrier, you know. And I think sky's the limit. It's just unfortunate that I'm 33 years old, so I won't be playing basketball that much longer. But, you know, for the future generations, they can really look forward to a BAL that's going to be exceptionally well run and big.
Lebesa Selebe of the Cape Town Tigers speaking to Omolemo Kale, our intern here at the Voice of America. I mean, he's 33. I mean, he's quite an impressive young man. Mm-hmm. Just to hear him talk, understand the game of basketball and what the future holds for young people on the continent in relation to this sport. It's a guy that you personally know. You know,
I wouldn't say personally know, but
at least personally,
right.
You've crossed paths in South Africa. It's quite impressive.
He hammers back at what we were saying. Is at some point, the hope is that BAL becomes a standalone entity. And it's good to see that it's not just us having these discussions, but even the players among themselves are hoping that at some point, BAL is something that's accessible towards all nations in Africa, right?
Right.
I think that's very pivotal. That is important. To see BAL be a standalone entity where 54 or 53 or majority of the African nations are able to send a team that can compete at some point and have a cross-pollination between the NBA as a league and BAL as a league itself.
Absolutely. As we come to the conclusion of today's program, we just wanted to remind you that the first round of the 2024 Nile Conference concludes today, Monday, April the 22nd, with four teams facing different scenarios as the race to the playoffs in May continues. In the first game of the day, the Oilers lost to Al Ahly of Libya, the City Oilers of Uganda. They still have one more game to play. They've lost three games so far. Mike, they will need some magic to happen for them to be able to make it to
and
Kigali.
And they're going up against the veterans in right. their last game. So yeah. it's going to be really interesting to see how they perform against Al Ahly Egypt.
Absolutely. It will be interesting to see. And Al Ahly Egypt is really not an easy team to beat. Mm-hmm. And they're not about to lose to
they're looking
to
like they're ready to go to for an entire conference.
You know, you know, you cannot beat them at their home court right mm-hmm, now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very solid team, really, for me. Just watching them play right now, I feel like they're the contenders for BAL championship this year.
It's going to be interesting to see the next game between Bangui and, of course, Al Ahly Libya.
Yes.
It's going to be a rematch to see who between those two debutants will come out second in the Nine Conference.
After Al Ahly lost that nail-biting loss to Al Ahly Egypt on Saturday, a game that you and I covered, which was quite interesting. Not as interesting as today's game against the Oilers. But again, that's the way things are. My name is Jackson Vunganyi, about to sign off for you here with Mike Hove.
Yes, sir.
We'll be back soon. Remember to check us out at voaafrica.com, our website again, that's voaafrica.com. We are on social media at voaafrica, just search on Instagram, on Facebook, and many others. Until next time, goodbye, everyone.